93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Friday, February 22nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, four people barged into a Wawa in Philadelphia and attacked the employee inside, biting one and macing another, police say.
This happened, is nuts.
I know. It happened at 2:30 this morning at the Wawa at Tyson and the Boulevard in Mayfair. Police say two men and two women, ages 19 and 20, walked into the store, began stealing products and knocking other items to the ground. That's when the three Wawa employees called police. An altercation then occurred between the suspect and the employees. Police say one male employee was bit and another male employee was maced. A female employee suffered a cut on her lip. As the suspects were attempting to leave in a maroon vehicle parked in the lot, police arrived at the Wawa. The four suspects were placed under arrest.
Good. Glad they got them.
Yeah. Items including a Mountain Dew bottle, a Snapple, and a basket of chips could be seen still in the vehicle as it remained in the parking lot hours after the arrest. The two male employees were taken to Nazareth Hospital for treatment. The female employee was taken to police headquarters to give a statement and then to the hospital.
Which Wawa was it?
It was in Mayfair. It was at Tyson and the Boulevard.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what? Like, it's terrible to say, but when I heard it was at the Boulevard, I'm like, of course. You know, like, why do these things always have to happen out that way? But yeah, I mean, fortunately, it looks like the employees are going to be okay. But I mean, just random. Four people walked in and attacked the
employees. Started being belligerent.
It's funny, though, Preston. Whenever I stop by the Wawa early on the way into work, I'm in there and I'm like, who are these people? At this time, and they're probably looking at me, who's this guy? It's just it's a weird time.
Yeah, that time they're just trying to get their side work done. I remember walking into a Wawa on my way into work, and I just saw this guy walking out with like four cartons of cigarettes. And to me, I was like, that's weird. And so I said to the Wawa employee, I'm like, wow, that guy wanted a lot of cigarettes early. And he's like, what are you talking about?
He robbed the place.
And he stole all of them.
Oh, my God.
But he's, that poor guy working in Wawa, he's just doing his side work. He's just getting his coffee ready for the morning rush or whatever.
Oh,
it's no man's land when you're doing that. That's why, they know you when you stop by the Wawa in the morning. And so, you're the only one coming in.
Victoria, I know them. The same people. I see them every morning. And I see the same people stocking shelves and stuff every morning, too.
You know what the best early morning Wawa visit for me is? When we're at Kenan's, because you walk in there, everyone knows, is coming to the show. They're awake. Everyone's happy. It's Memorial Day weekend. Hey, Kathy. Hey, Preston. Everyone's just nice, and it's a friendly environment. Yep. So hopefully everybody's going to be okay, but they did get all four suspects, so that's good. Police in Upper Providence Township are investigating vandalism at an amphitheater. The vandals left behind thousands of dollars of damage inside the amphitheater at Anderson Farm Park. Upper Providence Township police say a group of at least three teenagers destroyed mostly everything in sight. Two storage rooms were ransacked. Light fixtures, halogen lights, fans, fire extinguishers, and other equipment were all broken. The vandalism of several American flags had Upper Providence Detective Shay Johnson extremely angry. He said, everyone, whether you're a juvenile or an adult, knows the American flag does not go on the floor, and you definitely don't soil it or damage it. First thing we did when we entered this room,
shot him.
Was put it back up where it should have been. Left behind was more than $10,000 in damage. The amphitheater is used by summer day camps, outdoor theater, and concerts in the park. Police say the vandals did leave one big clue behind: their bong.
Their bong.
Listen, someone will know whose bong that is if they put a picture on it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Know it well.
Mm-hmm. LaSalle University officials have announced a plan for the school's first dog-friendly residence hall. Upperclassmen who choose to live at St. George Hall may now apply to have a small dog, 30 pounds or less, in their dorms beginning in the fall.
I had a bunny rabbit one, and it was, like, so illegal. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to get caught having this stupid rabbit.
But George wouldn't let you keep it.
No. I ended up giving it to a friend of mine. But, you just kind of want to, my friends had a cat. But they lived off campus, and that was, like, legal. That would be awesome to be able to have a dog on campus.
You know what? I think, too, it's probably encouraging upperclassmen to stay in the dorms, or at least another way to do so, because you have to be an upperclassman in order to apply to have a dog there.
Interesting.
Yeah. Students enjoy having animals on campus, whether it's during our Pause for Paws Stress Buster event each semester or through our ongoing partnership with Purina, said Vice President of Student Affairs. We recognize that there are mental, physical, and emotional benefits to having a pet and are excited to provide this option to our on-campus community. University officials say the initiative expands beyond the existing emotional support animal policy. New amenities will include a dog run, on-campus washing station, and a lounging space.
Well, how about that?
Yeah, cool. In sports this morning... Brendan Gallagher had his first career hat trick, and the Canadiens beat the Flyers 5-1 last night in Montreal. Yeah. Carter Hart gave up 3 goals on 9 shots for his second consecutive game. He was also pulled at 10:23 of the Flyers game on Tuesday after conceding 3 goals on 9 shots and a 5-2 home loss to Tampa Bay. The Flyers are back in South Philly tomorrow night with an outdoor game at the Link against their cross-state rivals, the Pittsburgh Penguins. We'll see if that happens. I heard steady rain this morning. The nationally televised game is scheduled to start at 8 o'clock. Boban Marjanovic had 19 points and 12 rebounds and made 3 key free throws in the final minute and a half to help the Sixers beat the Miami Heat 106-102 last night at the center. Tobias Harris had 12 of his 23 points in the fourth quarter, and J.J. Redick hit a late three-pointer to help the Sixers win their first game without Joel Embiid. He's expected to miss at least a week with a sore left knee. Ben Simmons added 21 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. The Sixers are at home tomorrow afternoon with the game against the Portland Trail Blazers, and tip-off is at 1 o'clock. And in other basketball news, the NBA has formally proposed changing the draft eligible age requirement from 19 to 18 years old to the Player Association. The timing of the formal proposal is not related to the knee injury suffered by Duke freshman and likely number one overall draft pick Zion Williams on Wednesday night, according to a published report in USA Today. The NBA negotiated to have high school players out of the draft in the 2005 collective bargaining agreement, but under Commissioner Adam Silver, the NBA has changed course on its thinking regarding early entry. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you very much, Kath. We're going to move along quickly because we have a lot to do today. Several people are going to be on the program. We have a number of guests stopping by in studio. They would include writer and director of a film called Greta, which is coming out on March 1st. Neil Jordan is going to be here.
This is a thriller.
He was responsible for a few movies you may have heard of, like The Crying Game and Interview with a Vampire. Just to name a couple. So he's stopping in early, a little after 7 o'clock. We have everybody, Frank Caliendo, who's going to be at Parks Casino tonight.
Yes.
So Frank is stopping in for a little bit, probably play a game with him. Mr. Skin is getting in touch with the 20th. It's a big one for him. 20th Annual Anatomy Awards.
It's just loaded with categories, Preston.
So we will have Mr. Skin on, and in conjunction with that, our buddy Rich Voss is going to be here today, too. Rich is at Helium Comedy Club tonight.
And I think Voss is a nominee for one of the Mr. Skin Awards.
Oh, dear God. So Rich will be in, and we also have Mr. John Ratzenberger on the program, too. He is promoting Toy Story 4, which is in theaters June 21st, so we'll take a call from him, and he's been in every single Pixar movie ever made.
I love it.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him, and also our friends from Godshall's Turkey Bacon. Going to be here this morning, which means we got a lot of giveaways in conjunction with those guys, too, and other things to make sure that we set you up with before the weekend gets to us fully. So these things and more taking place. Like I said, we're going to break right away, come back in a second. We'll have a stupid question. We have sad news from the world of music to pass along to you, and a few other stories as well. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR. Here comes the MMR.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. We are headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 1st, for our 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. Go to WMMR.com to score lift tickets for just $20 and for details on how to register your sled to compete for cash and prizes. From WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
Screwed up Valentine's Day? Diamonds will get you out of the doghouse. Make it up to her with Stevens Angel Heart Diamond Necklace for only $128. Online at IHateStevensSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Stevens Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, thank you, Kathy. Stupid question this morning. 4-pack of tickets, Atlantic City Boat Show.
Yeah.
It's the 27th through March 3rd.
I love the boat show.
I noticed. And the question that I have for you today is, in 1976, this is a Black History question, he made his NBA debut by coming off the bench for the Philadelphia 76ers. After that, he started every game till he retired in 1987.
Whoa.
Who was he? 215-263 WMMR. I'll read it again. In 1976, he made his NBA debut by coming off the bench for the 76ers. After that, he started every game till he retired in 1987. Who was he?
That's awesome.
215-263-WMMR. Call now. Let's see if you know the answer. And I'm going to go through. What is wrong with me?
What's happening?
I got it. I'm normally very orderly.
What's happening to you?
With my entertainment news and stories and things. And
paper clips that are color coordinated.
All out of whack. All right. So let's go through the birthdays. That's what we're going to do. Today is February 22nd. Drew Barrymore's birthday is today.
Yes.
Drew Barrymore is 44 years old today.
She is the host, or she's one of the judges on this new talent competition.
Really?
It's basically like America's Got Talent, but it's something like a lot of people have talent. Or those
how many
people
are there now?
Yeah.
How many are there?
4,400. Oh. It turns out, you know what it turns out? The big lie is not a lot of people have talent.
Yeah. So she's going to be, is this a...
She's one of the judges.
Yeah. Any other names that you can recall? Anybody?
She's the big one.
Okay.
Yeah.
James Corden, Steve is on it. Faith Hill. Okay. And then, and RuPaul.
RuPaul.
Yeah. The world's best.
The world's best. Literally the world's best at everything.
Wait a minute. It says after the Super Bowl.
That's when it premiered.
CBS. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, and that's why we've been hearing all about
so
it.
So much about it.
That's weird though. Is that not like a major step down for her?
I don't know. She was doing.
She's never done anything like this, right?
Yeah, like the main reason why you don't see somebody like Al Pacino doing Dancing with the Stars. Like he loves to dance.
Giving them a 10. The Givens kids. I don't know. If they threw a lot of money at her, maybe not.
Yeah.
Hang on, Marissa wants to weigh in.
I do follow her on Instagram. She's fun. She has a makeup line that's available in I don't know, it's available at CVS's and big box stores or something, but maybe she's pushing that.
She was also doing that cannibal show, right? The
The Santa Clarita diet
yes. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Is that still on?
I don't think so. I didn't care for it.
She's 44 today. Jeri Ryan, the actress who we got to know on Star Trek Voyager, is 7 of 9.
Possibly the tightest outfit ever worn by anyone on television.
She was also on Boston Public. She is 51 today. Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
Has his birthday.
I like him.
Yep. I just watched something, Steve, and I got almost completely all the way through the movie until I realized that he was the main character in the movie.
Really? What was
it? Called 1922. It's on Netflix. It's a Stephen King story. And it's good. It's typical Stephen King, messes with your head a little
bit.
It's a tormented person who has to deal with who does a terrible thing and has to deal with it. It gets on his conscience. But he plays a farmer in 1922, and he kind of talks with his mouth partly closed. I'm like, man, that guy looks familiar.
Did he have, prosthetics on or anything?
He was kind of thin, and he just didn't look like him. And I'm like, all right, and he did a great job. He's a fantastic actor.
Is it a movie or a series?
It's a movie.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half long.
He's actually pretty jacked.
So he's a great actor. He was, The Mist, we've talked about that before.
He was also played the Punisher in a movie with John Travolta.
Correct. And 61, he's
excellent.
Really, really great in as Mickey Mantle. He's 50 years old today. Kyle MacLachlan.
Yeah.
Blue Velvet, Twin Peaks.
Dune.
The Doors. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dune, of course, he played Paul Atreides.
And he's funny. He's he as an actor, he can be really self-deprecating.
Yeah.
And I like him a lot.
Oh, yeah. He's the dad in Inside Out.
Yeah.
Yes. Ah. The voice of the father. Mom. You're correct. Right. Yeah. And Diane Lane was the mom. Oh. They do fairly generic adult voices, and you don't really pick up on it unless you go back and take a look at the names. But
God, that was such a good movie.
It's I go back and forth between the first Incredibles movie and Inside Out as my all-time favorite animated films.
They're excellent.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he also played the mayor on Portlandia, Nick. If you,
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Very funny.
He is 60.
There you go.
So a big birthday for him. And last birthday is Dr. J. Dr. Julius Erving is 69 years old today.
It's amazing.
So happy birthday to you, Dr. J. Let's see if we can get an answer to this stupid question. In 1976, he made his NBA debut by coming off the bench for the Philadelphia 76ers. After that, he started every game till he retired in 1987. Who are we speaking of? And I will go to Gavin. Hi, Gavin. Good morning.
Actually, Kevin.
Oh. Hi, Kevin. Kevin, do me a favor and tell me the player that we're talking about.
I'm hoping it's his birthday today and it's the great Dr. J.
You are correct.
Yay! What a streak.
Yep. Nice job, Kev. Hang on the line. We're going to get your info. And we are going to give you a 4-pack of tickets to the Atlantic City Boat Show, February 27th through March 3rd at the Atlantic City Convention Center. You can visit acboatshow.com. I want to meet Dr. J.
Me too.
All the years here in the world of media in Philadelphia, and have never met the legend. I would love to meet him.
He's away a lot doing the Doctors Without Borders.
Oh, is that what he does?
Yeah.
I believe him and Matt Cord are on like first name basis.
Really?
I can see that.
Yeah.
He's a Dr. J, and Dr. J calls him Hey You.
Hey there, buddy. I met Dr. J. Matt introduced me to him. He was very nice. It was quick. Hello. He shook my hand. His hand was giant, and that was that.
Did he put his whole hand around your head?
He absolutely could.
He's amazing. All right, let's get into some of the entertainment stories. Empire star Jussie Smollett appeared in court yesterday after surrendering to police earlier in the morning. He faces one felony count of disorderly conduct for allegedly filing a false police report. His bond was set at $100,000. He was also, and I think he's out on bond now.
Yes.
He was also ordered to surrender his passport. He's due back in court on March 14th. Prosecutors say that he was disappointed by Fox's reaction to the, quote, racist and homophobic letter that was sent to the Empire set and addressed to him. He allegedly sent the letter or arranged to have it sent. The letter contained written threats, cutout letters, and powdery substance later found to be ibuprofen. Smollett then staged an attack, according to prosecutors. He paid two brothers $3,500 to fake an attack on him. He allegedly texted one of the brothers, Abimbola Asundario, and he wrote, might need your help on the low. You around to meet up to talk face-to-face. At a press conference after the hearing, Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson said Smollett was motivated to write the letter and stage an attack because he was, quote, dissatisfied with his salary. That's what they're saying.
And I think they had the assistant DA out there, Preston. Did you see that press conference? The woman outside the courthouse? Yeah, here she is, Risa Lanier. And she actually went through the entire, what their evidence has yielded. He did so many dumb steps along the way. He actually paid them with a check.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did.
Oh, my God.
This guy's an idiot. And whatever his motivation behind it, like, listen, dude, he's got a screw loose. That's what's up, man.
They apparently have texts between him and these brothers before the whole thing and after the whole thing.
Johnson said, Eddie Johnson, the Chicago police superintendent, said, I'm left hanging my head and asking why. Why would anyone, especially an African-American man, use the symbolism of a noose to make false accusations? So it's underway, and he's got a trial date coming up.
His other big mistake was taking selfies with him on the night of the thing.
Yeah, probably not a good
idea. It was not a good idea.
This was sad news. The Monkees, Peter Tork, passed away yesterday. He was 77 years old. At a family home in Connecticut following a decade-long battle with adenoid cystic carcinoma. It's a rare cancer of the salivary glands. He was here a few years back in 2012 and was just the nicest guy. It was a really great interview. We enjoyed hanging out with him.
We're big Monkees fans. Yeah. I mean, I have a number of Monkees songs on, you know, now I see it on my iPod and my music collection. Let's just say that, yeah. So it's... super talented guy.
Torque is the second member of the Monkees to die following the February 29, 2012 death of Davy Jones, of course, who died of a heart attack. He was 66 years old. Torque, who celebrated his birthday on February 13th, was cast as the naive and dim-witted bassist on the Emmy Award-winning NBC musical comedy, which ran during only the 1966 and 67 seasons.
Yet the legend lives on.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because he himself, you know, was one of the more acerbic members of the group there, and here he is playing the dullard, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. Torque had made a name for himself in the Greenwich Village folk scene, performing with various members of the Love and Spoonful and briefly dating Mama Cass Elliott. It was Stephen Stills, a friend from his folk days, who convinced him to audition for the Monkees pilot. What is this we're playing?
I Know Love. This is a Peter Torque song, apparently.
He was not one of the... He only sang on a couple of songs, and they weren't any hits.
Did he sing on Angie Griselda?
Yes, he did.
Yes.
He was the lead singer of that. So during his original four-year stint with the band, he sang lead on songs like Steve Said, Angie Griselda, and Shades of Grey. Out of all the group's members, Torque was by far the most musically accomplished. He played guitar, bass, banjo, and keyboards during the group's 60 shows and recording sessions.
I remember it used to be a litmus test, Preston, who was your favorite? You know, it's the same with the Beatles, mm-hmm. and they were called the Prefab Four, mm-hmm. the Monkees. I was always a Mickey guy.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, it was Torque's songwriting on such tracks as the Monkees' outgoing theme song For Pete's Sake. We were just talking about that the other day. And Can You Dig It from their 1968 Head soundtrack that made him stand apart from his more popular bandmates. Marissa actually pulled up a couple of segments from the interview we did, Casey.
Yeah, I got them.
And let's see if you can, we'll play one. This is, it says Peter Torque intros himself. So I haven't listened to these yet. I'm not sure what they are, but here we go.
Our next guest, WMMR's thrilled to the point of nausea to present me, Peter Torque.
That is the first time we've ever had a guest introduce himself. I'm impressed.
I just can't trust you guys.
Here's another clip. It says, humble about the Monkees. There we go. Shoe Suede Blues.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
And how long has that band been together?
I don't even know for sure. Something like 13 or 14 years.
Okay.
A little bit more or less. And I can't possibly go on without letting you know that we do some songs from that group I used to belong to.
Yes. Yeah.
Which will remain anonymous.
Not for too long.
Monkees Anonymous.
Monkees Anonymous.
I tell you what.
I'm Peter. I'm a recovering monkey. I had a slip last summer.
Did you? You got back on?
I was again last summer, yes.
By the way, I loved the name of his band, Shoe Suede Blues.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
So he was battling this this thing, and I know we have some more clips there, Preston, but he had to have it when he was here with us, because I think it was a number of years, right?
Yeah, I read he was diagnosed in 2009.
All right.
So, yeah. He was here in 2012.
Right.
Here's him talking about, because Davy had passed away the year that we had him by, so this is him talking about that.
It was sad. I miss him. We're showing in the studio a picture of the two of us jamming together, cranking on the keyboard, and Josie's cranking on the tambourine. You know that David Letterman top 10 list had Davy Jones listed as among the top 10 tambourine players of all time at numbers 8 and 3.
8 and 3.
Oh, that's great. And then one more clip, and this is Peter. They all got a chance to meet the Beatles at one point, and they were just blown away by that. So here's him talking about that.
Speaking of the Beatles, were you as intimidated as one might be when you guys had the chance to, early on in your career, as you were hitting, though, had a chance to have an audience with those guys?
Well, it's interesting. We met at an arranged kind of function, and we got to hang out with them for an evening, and it was pretty easygoing. You know,
good.
It was, you know, Mickey, John Lennon, and George Harrison came in singing the Hare Krishna chant, only going Mickey, Mickey, Dolan's, 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 Mickey, Dolan's, Mickey, Dolan's.
Are you kidding?
No, yeah, and you know, so it was all very easygoing, and to this day, Mickey hangs with Paul and says, you know, what a great guy he is.
Oh, that's cool.
And then months later, I ran across John on the street and got tongue-tied.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
So sad news that that he passed away. You know, there's statements from all kinds of people in the world of music. I'll get to those a little bit later on in music news. So that's just sad. We were bummed out to hear that.
Well, you know, also you did the series and then the movie where they did Head, which was written by Jack Nicholson, mm-hmm. you know. And so the whole collective hung out. There's a lot of pop culture that came out of that nexus, that Monkees nexus.
Yeah, sad news. All right, let's move on to the more frivolous.
Yes, that's what we do best: frivolous and weightless.
Chloe,
there you go.
Thank you. While she didn't name names, she definitely addressed her breakup with boyfriend Tristan Thompson on Instagram stories.
Well, just a quick question: who the hell are you protecting? Since the world knows exactly what happened,
I know.
What's the reason for being discreet?
So, of course, just to bring you back up to speed, Tristan got busted cheating with Chloe's sister Kylie's friend Jordan. Got all that?
Yeah, who lives in Kylie's guest house.
Not anymore.
Threw her ass right out. Kicked her to the curb, Preston.
Chloe posted three quotes and one photo. The first said, "The worst pain is getting hurt by a person you explained your pain to."
I think getting hit by a train is probably pretty bad, too.
Ooh, yeah, that's
having your
nails
taken out.
Yeah, ripped out by the train that's rolling over you.
Yeah, that's bad. Or having, you know... car jumper cables attached to your nipples.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would be very painful.
On a moving train that's being driven by your cheating husband.
That's got to be worse.
So I think that was a very lame statement.
Than getting hurt by the person you explained your pain to.
Yeah.
So the second quote said, somebody needs to hear this. That betrayal was your blessing. Mm. And then the third read, if they ask you about me, tell them she was the only person that loved me with honesty and I broke her. What are you talking about?
If they ask about me.
Yeah.
Broke her. Honestly. Enough.
She Googled breakup quotes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
By the way, she wasn't at the Sixers game last night, was she? There was a blonde.
Who, Kendall?
Chloe.
Chloe? No, there's a chick who looks.
It was Edgar Winter.
Like her.
No, she's Steve. She looks very much like Khloe Kardashian.
I think it's Ben's sister.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
She was sitting courtside where Kendall has been sitting, and I thought it'd be really odd if Khloe was at the game last night, but apparently it was not.
Okay.
You know, you can tell that it's Khloe. She's always waving for the salmon vendors.
And then she posted a Roy Lichtenstein-like drawing of a woman crying. Okay. So we all know what that
My
means,
soul
right?
weeps.
What? Yeah. I don't know.
If only there had been signs.
Yeah.
Like there were nine of them.
Yeah. Kylie, meanwhile, posted two late-night selfie videos of herself in PJs, reportedly after giving Woods the boot. Jordan Woods has moved back in with her mom.
I forgot that Jordan's last name was Woods. And
yeah.
Like,
who's Woods?
I was saying,
James
I was
Woods.
Icky Woods.
Icky, yeah.
From the
shuffle.
Bengals.
That's funny. That's where my brain went to.
From where?
From the Bengals. Remember the Icky Shuffle? And then he was in that commercial, get your cold cuts.
Oh, when you said Bengals, I thought you meant walk like an Egyptian.
That's right.
The Bengals.
Bengals.
I love them.
Man, we are all over
all
the place.
Over.
Jesus Christ. This is the most uninformative.
So when
how does she know him?
When she was spotted out and about Thursday, Woods appeared to be wearing shoes with a message for someone. Slider from the Japanese brand Undercover and were originally priced at $165 said balance and the other one said chaos. People are reporting on this.
Oh my God. They think there's so much gravitas to what's written on their shoes and their Instagram account.
So we're not sure if they're going to forgive her or not. Meanwhile, Mike Fleiss, the creator and executive producer of The Bachelorette, tweeted he wants Chloe to star in the next season.
Wow.
That's a winner right there.
That's a good idea. Dude, they would have to pay her like $50 million.
There's no way she'd do it because the end of it is supposed to result in marriage.
Right.
And there's no way. They wouldn't even play along with that. Couldn't think. There's no way.
The good thing is that the marriage is never taken. They never actually happen. So.
And they would, because I think that they would see people on a show like that as desperate people.
I love you, Chloe.
Yeah, so.
I love you.
But he threw it out there. That would be pretty brilliant.
It would be. It's not like the show's hurting for ratings, though. It's a juggernaut.
Meghan Markle presumably got an epic haul at her $200,000 New York City baby shower. Her famous friends, including Serena Williams and Amal Clooney, reportedly footed the epic bill. But none of the attendees found out who gave what because the Duchess opted not to open any of the gifts.
That would suck.
Gail King, who attended, confirmed that she received gifts, which, by the way, is against royal protocol, but decided to wait and open them with her husband, Prince Harry. The pair are expecting the first child in April.
Did you hear what George and Amal also did for her? They flew her back on their private jet.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, so they arranged the transportation.
I mean, how quickly did she become friends with all the... I mean, people, she was just on Suits or whatever, right? And then before that, she was holding a briefcase for Howie Mandel. And now she's hanging out with George and Amal.
It seems like a likely progression, right? Howie Mandel, the monarchy.
Guests at the shower learned that... what does this mean?
Is Chloe writing this stuff?
Listen,
heart weeps, pain.
Well, listen, guests at the shower learned to make shower arrangements together.
Oh, Preston, it's a news service called Frankenstein News.
Guests at shower, fire, make shower.
Fire bad.
No, I guess they learned how to make.
No, entertainment report. Lil Zob, bad.
Takashi 69, good.
No, he's bad.
Bad.
Chloe, good. Yeah. Tristan, bad.
There's always a mention of fire in the entertainment report. Yeah.
Fire, bad. Fire in Bel Air. Set of new movie destroyed.
So Gail King reported and added that all of their arrangements were donated to charity after the event.
Without even opening them? What if they were sex toys?
No, the arrangements.
Well, I hope you didn't donate it to charity. It was a five-headed dildo. Yes, absolutely. So we can all have fun.
Attendees also left with suitcases as party favors.
Okay.
That was just a reminder that, hey, you used to be a suitcase model. Yeah.
Nice. We could send you back.
Yeah. Yeah. Meghan's sister-in-law, Kate Middleton, with whom she is rumored to have strained relations, did not attend. She was reportedly away with her husband, Prince William, and their three kids on a ski vacation because school is out of session this
week. But she didn't. She just tweeted her a picture of her sitting on the couch watching TV.
Yeah.
I'm busy.
So Natalie Portman has been granted a temporary restraining order against a man who she says got into her gated community and showed up outside of her home. The alleged stalker told police his name was John Wick, by the way.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He's on the lam. Stay away from him. All the hitmen in the world are trying to take up that contract on him.
So this guy has been ordered to stay 100 yards away from Portman, her husband, and their two children. Hearing has been scheduled for next month, and Portman reportedly hopes to make the order permanent. Police sources tell the site that the man, who hails from Colorado, claims that he spoke to Portman multiple times telepathically.
Oh, my God.
You don't understand.
Why would she deny that?
Police say that he didn't respond to the name on his license, but did respond to John.
It's John Wick.
John Wick. That is correct.
Okay. Oh, my God. By the way, what are they paying for security for if he gets right into the community?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they would let John Wick in.
Do you guys see the Taron Egerton, Elton John Rocketman trailer?
I did.
Looks great.
It looks really good.
He is really, that guy's talented.
He is super talented, and you know, I buy him as Elton John, no problem. Yeah.
How
yeah.
far into Elton John's career does this movie go?
About an hour ago.
No kidding.
Not really sure.
Okay.
I don't know. They'll take it up to some pivotal point, an important moment, kind of like what they did with Queen, because they didn't go through the whole story of Freddie Mercury. But they took it up to what was a seminal moment in the band's history. So that I would imagine they'll do something with him like that. But I can't think of what that might be off the top of my head. Maybe, I don't know, when Lady Diana died or...
Possibly. That thing. So, something that would be a big concert. You know what might be it? Well, if they follow the model of Bohemian Rhapsody, he had that whole issue with his vocal cords. Remember, they didn't know whether he'd be able to sing again.
I don't remember that.
Okay,
so, Elton?
Yes, it was a big traumatic thing. They had to, I guess, some sort of polish or something. They had to remove from his vocal cords. And I remember one of the first big. In fact, they made a double album out of it. It was him performing at the Sydney Opera House.
Yeah,
maybe that's where they take it.
You remember one of the things about Elton John that I recall that I was so impressed with? Do you remember when AIDS first started to rear its head and everybody was just terrified?
Yeah.
There was a little boy who came down with it.
Ryan White.
Yeah, and Elton befriended him.
Yes.
And was close to him and made sure that that kid...
looked after him.
It was a really beautiful thing, so I don't know if they'll cover that in the movie at all, but that was pretty special.
Do you have a favorite Elton John song that is not a radio hit?
That is not a radio hit?
I have one that I love from an earlier album called Leave On.
Oh, yeah. My God, Leave On's a great song. Yeah. Mine would be Love Lies Bleeding, Funeral for a Friend, Love Lies Bleeding. That song is just epic.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Border Song.
That's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly my all-time favorite song that just gives me joy. And I mean, you know, I've got a lot of favorite songs. I've got, you know, Beatles songs that will forever be the greatest things I've ever heard. But a song that never fails to make me happy, but it's a radio hit, is Benny and the Jets.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Absolutely love. I get excited when I hear that crowd.
The oral quality.
I love it.
Not O-R-A-U-R-A-L. The whole presentation is great.
Yeah.
Listen, that was the first record I got when I got a record player.
And really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. And for some reason, my father got me Roberta Flack.
Really?
But hey, I liked Roberta
She's
Flack.
She's great.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
I love everything about this song. I love the way the echo on his voice. It sounds like they're live in concert.
Mesmerizing.
It just makes me happy. So, Paramount Pictures dropped the trailer yesterday. The film promises to be a journey fueled by drugs, hooks, and glitter, it says. Rocket Man will land in theaters on May 31st. Should be pretty cool. Oh, they're excited over there at the Wendy Williams show because her six-week absence from the show is coming to an end. She's been on leave since January 18th to contend with health issues.
Haven't you been reporting over the past couple of weeks that the crew has been ecstatic while she was away?
Yeah, I was being sarcastic.
Yeah.
They have been absolutely loving work again since this one person...
and life in general.
...has been gone. that's a conversation sometimes. Yeah. Like, you know, when somebody left... we finally started to have fun. You know what I mean?
Throughout my years, I've had bosses where when they went away on vacation or something, I mean, I worked for one of the earliest versions of, you know, when they were called HBO Homebox.
Yeah,
you know, going all the way back. And this guy went away on vacation. One time I was there for 2 weeks. And the job became joyous and wonderful, but it was nightmarish while he was there.
I was having dinner with one of my best friends in town last night, and he has a job that he took his position that he just got was taking over for a guy who is a well-known douchebag.
Oh.
And so everyone he's in sales, and everyone he's encountering now is like, thank God that guy's gone.
Yeah, it's a breath of fresh air.
This is going to be so nice to work with you. So, you know, it's always nice when somebody like that leaves. But Wendy's coming back.
Yay!
So she's been on leave since January 18th. She's had her health issues, including a fractured shoulder and complications from the immune system issue Graves disease.
Yes.
Williams is reportedly on the mend and ready to return.
But my guess is she accelerated her return in light of all the news that everyone was having a blast without her there.
Oh,
my
God.
I'm okay. I'm coming in.
I could see her being a diva and just a royal pain to work for.
Her whole general persona is that of a diva.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so why would it not be, you know, that way off the... unless she gets... unless it's like Gilbert Gottfried.
I could see her treating people beneath her as dirt, you know, but they got to get ready for it. A documentary about jazz legend Billie Holiday is in the works.
She was born in Philadelphia.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Rick Williams taught me that on
Black History.
She was married to Larry Fine.
She was not married to Larry Fine, but there's a plaque for Billie Holiday is somewhere in Philadelphia, and Rick Williams was going around and doing, and so was Deuces. All the different African-American plaques in Philadelphia, and there are a lot of them. They're really impressive.
Do you know who's really close with her? Very, very famous comedic actor that she kind of babysat a bit?
Uh-uh. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Richard Pryor.
No, Billy Crystal.
Oh. Really?
Whoa, Billy Crystal. And Billy?
Because Billy Crystal's father ran a record shop in New York City.
Oh.
And jazz was the music. And so he knew all the jazz greats.
Hmm.
And in fact, at his funeral, Duke Ellington and Count Basie were there.
Whose funeral?
Billy Crystal's father.
Okay.
When he passed, all these jazz greats were at his funeral.
That's wild.
And Billie Holiday was she would take Billy to go to the movies, and he would call her Miss Billy, and she would call him Mr. Billy. And so it was in one of his one-man show.
That is wild.
Routines he did. It's pretty wild. So they're working on a movie about her. It's going to be directed by James Erskine and has the support of her estate. The film's going to follow her life. Through fan and journalist Linda Lipnack Kuhl, who began a biography of Holiday in 1970 and recovered interviews with Charles Mingus, Sarah Vaughan, Tony Bennett, Count Basie, and Holiday's step-parents.
Sounds like a great movie.
Doesn't it, though?
At any point, do they make it to San Francisco?
Probably.
You know, there's a lot of poop out there.
I hear there's...
All over the streets.
It's, like, piled up
high. Absolutely.
You can actually, get caught in it if you
want. I don't care how strong the wind is, you can always smell it.
Now, also, it'll be through interviews with lovers, school friends, jailmates, lawyers, pushers, pimps, and the FBI agents who arrested her.
So if you talk about an incredibly tumultuous, troubled life, and the fact that she was a genius as well, and super talented. Now, I hear that the odds-on favorite to play her is Scarlett Johansson, which I think is going to cause an issue.
Yeah. Now, you know what? I don't know who they're talking about playing her, but it's a documentary. So,
it's a documentary. Yeah. Okay.
So she'll probably play herself.
She'll probably play herself.
Yeah, okay.
I'm interested because I don't know all the background and the legal issues and drug problems and things like that.
Had a raging addiction.
She died in 1979 before the biography. Kuhl, by the way, the journalist who got all this information, died in 1979 before the biography was finished. But some of her tapes will be heard in Billy for the first time. Not sure when that's going to be premiered. Netflix is developing a Hulk Hogan biopic with Chris Hemsworth attached to star as Hulk Hogan. How about that?
I think it's actually very cool. Kathy, you were a big Hulk fan, were you not?
You know what? I was growing up. Yeah.
Were you a Hulkamaniac?
She was a Hulkamaniac. She admitted it on the show.
I always used to watch with my dad and my brothers, yeah.
So, physically, stature-wise, so how tall is Hulk Hogan?
About 6'5", 6'3", 6'5".
Okay.
I don't know.
You know, when you watch him in Rocky III, which is the first time I really saw him as Thunderlips.
You see how big he is.
Yeah, and then next to Stallone, who's like 5'4".
Hulk Hogan's 6'7".
6'7". Okay.
I was curious how tall Stallone, I mean, he's probably shorter now, but how tall he was at that time, because he looked like a midget next to Hulk Hogan.
Well, there's that scene where Rocky picks him up and body slams him. And in fact, during that scene, Stallone says he completely threw out his back.
No kidding.
He's lifting up a car, basically.
Yeah, yeah. And then, to give you perspective, if you've ever seen Hulk next to Andre the Giant, he looks like the midget. Well, and he's 6'7".
And Hulk's, we had him on the show, and Hulk's loving stories about Andre the Giant and how he sat in the back of a bus while they were touring Europe and drank an entire case of wine during a bus trip.
How big was Big John Studd then? Because that was another one where when Hulk Hogan body slammed, and he body slammed both of those guys, but... When he body
enormous,
slammed,
I know that. Yeah, that used to be the norm, and now the athletic, smaller guys are the state of the art.
Yeah,
Big John Studd was 6'10". Nick just pulled up.
Yeah. King Kong Bundy was only 6'4", and Chris Hemsworth is 6'3". So figure
they can do that. They can fake a couple inches. It's not going to be a big deal. One thing, as I said, I tweeted out, to get his face ready, he's going to have to drive his car into a brick wall because Chris Hemsworth is
incredibly
sort of
good
impossibly
looking.
Good looking.
Yeah. So Todd Phillips will direct a script by Scott Silver and John Polano. The story will follow Hulk's rise to fame from the Florida wrestling world in the 1970s through the 1980s, worldwide Hulkamania and beyond.
That should be cool.
It should be cool.
And Hemsworth is one of the producers.
I wonder if, all right, because I don't watch wrestling anymore, but I wonder, because he always had these managers, and I wonder if the managers were there just in case, like, the star wasn't that good on camera or wasn't that good on microphone. Do you know what I mean?
You mean when they would be there with their handlers?
Because I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember Big John Studd being all that, like, loud or boisterous, like Bobby Heenan was.
Yeah, you'd see it all the time, and now you virtually never see it.
Right.
Maybe, Case, yeah.
Yeah.
So they get this big guy who's perfect for wrestling.
Yes.
But his personality might not quite, he may not be able to...
delivered.
Yeah. Well, they used to call it posing.
Right.
So you may not be able to pose well. So
I wonder if that's what that was all about.
Maybe.
Let's think about that for a little
while. I wonder. So I have time for another story, and I wasn't going to add this because I don't know who these people are, but maybe you guys do.
Ooh. Maybe I can help you.
Ooh. Okay. After a whirlwind 3-month marriage, Danielle Staub and Marty Caffrey have finalized their divorce.
Are these a Real Housewives people?
Oh, I told you. I don't
think
know.
They are.
I have no idea. 6 months after he filed and less than a year since they wed in May of 2018.
Nick, any verification of my... It's Staub.
Yes, yes, yes. Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Oh, she's a Jersey woman.
And she was on a one show, Steve.
Give it to me.
The name of the show was God. The show's legit. God has a rap sheet.
God has a rap sheet.
But her role? Whore with date at restaurant.
Yes. Yes.
Perhaps you remember me as the whore on a date during the short-lived series God Has a Rap Sheet.
Awesome.
Kathy, you were the whore.
That's her
in
legit
restaurant.
That's her legit credit on IMDb.
No, Nick. There were two whores. There was one whore that was by herself, not on a date.
Okay.
And there was a whore on a date.
Even though they're all the same things, if you were playing somebody and that's what it showed up on your IMDb, would you rather be called a whore, a hooker, or a prostitute?
I think if you're going to go for it. A whore.
Yeah.
Prostitute.
I want to be a whore.
But at least they didn't put her as just whore number two.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they will credit you as that.
You're not even the first whore.
Right.
Dude, you didn't get first whore?
Oh, no.
But I'm second whore. I'm understudy.
All right. So the last several months have been extremely difficult for Danielle.
And I can only imagine with not knowing what's going on.
And she's very glad to be able to focus on her future and the next chapter of her life. That's according to Staub's rep, Stephen Honig.
What a great job, though. That must be. Danielle Staub's rep.
All right. Movies premiering this weekend. I'll give you the skinny on what you can expect at the box office.
Don't tell me that's not funny.
One movie opening that I know of, and that is How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World.
We were talking about how much we love these movies.
They're great movies.
The first one just blew me away. It came out of left field, and I fell in love with it.
It is a family adventure film, and it is directed by Dean Dublois, who is lending the voices are Jay Baruchel, of course, Gerard Butler, Kit Harington, America Ferrara, Jonah Hill, Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
The same group.
Craig Ferguson, Kristen Wiig, and T.J. Miller. I was wondering if Kit Harington was in any of the other movies.
He might have been in the second.
That's the only name that I didn't recognize from the from being in the movie in the past. So the plot is Hiccup and Toothless discover the true meanings of their lives to be ruler of the Viking village and to lead its own species of dragon. It is rated PG. It is an hour and 44 minutes long, and the Rotten Tomatoes score so far is 96%.
Oh, good.
That's awesome.
Good.
So
I tell you, when I first got my 3D set at home, and I was like, I'm not a big fan of 3D, but what the hell, let's try it. For video gaming, it might be kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
I put this movie on, and when it's soaring through the clouds and the whole, it was just gorgeous. And it's, you know, it's anyone who's a pet owner. You know, or just loves animals. Just in general, that first movie just gets you.
Yep. All right, we're ready for clips.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I wasn't ready for that. I was going to hit something else.
What were you going to hit?
I don't know.
Okay.
I thought I was going to...
I don't know.
I was ready to hit this thing.
Oh, to wrap it up?
No, I don't know why. Preston.
Back to me?
But back to you.
Okay, thank you.
I can fix this.
So... Run the Race follows two brothers facing problems with different worldviews that ultimately strengthen their bond. And in this clip, Christopher Polaha talks about the complexity of his character, Michael Truitt. Here we go.
I always find the most compelling characters are the most complex characters. And I don't think Michael Truitt's a bad person. I think that he's caught up in his own brokenness. The way that he's dealing with his hurt isn't great. And he's shirked his duties as a father. And when you play a character like that, I think it's no matter how far away from shore you swim and how kind of dark you go, as long as you can know that, you know, keep the shore in mind.
I don't think I want to see it.
So I guess this opens this weekend too, but I didn't get the official information.
Because it sucks.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. Wow, wow, wow. Well, you and Michael Jackson aren't seeing it.
Okay. Run the Race opens today. Here's the next clip. Cast of Walking Dead is stoked to be back for the second half of its ninth season. In this clip, Melissa McBride talks about her favorite day on the set every season.
It's when the cast and crew get to go away from the studio into the little town of Sonoy where we shoot and watch the premiere of that season together.
Shut the f*** up!
That's cool. That's got to be fun for them.
It does have to be cool, yeah.
New episode of The Walking Dead air Sunday, 9 p.m. on AMC.
Are you caught up?
I think I've won. Have they done two so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, so far. I've got one more to go.
Well, there's
only one behind.
One way I thought they were going to go that they didn't go, and it sort of turned out to be, you know, with this new group that they've discovered, mm-hmm. and I thought it would have been kind of cool if that was actually organic, you know.
Yep,
you
know, I agree with you. Know,
right,
so
I know what
agree.
You mean. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So yeah. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. So I haven't watched the most recent episode. Was it good?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, all right. You just, you know, it's one of those. They're building towards something. So
yeah. It's a middle episode. Yeah. Yeah. I got you.
All right, we have a lot. If you're just tuning in, we have a lot going on today. We're gonna have writer director Neil Jordan here in our studio in just a moment. The film Greta is in theaters March 1st, and he is the guy behind movies like The Crying Game and Interview with the Vampire, and you had mentioned Mona Lisa.
The Company of Wolves.
So he is going to be here in just a few minutes. So our buddy Frank Caliendo is stopping in. Mr. Skin is checking in with the 20th Annual Anatomy Awards. Rich Voss is going to be stopping by this morning. We're also going to talk to actor John Ratzenberger because opening this weekend is this summer is Toy Story 4. So we have a lot going on, as well as Godshall's Turkey Bacon. I should give away some turkey bacon right now, Casey. Mm. To kind of stay ahead of things. So I'll take caller number 15, and I will give you a six-pack coupons good for six full-size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon. Don't forget, it is easy to eat healthier and lighter. Get recipes at godshalls.com. 215-263-WMMR. We'll be back momentarily.
Preston and Steve.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR. 93.3 WMMR. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Our next guest has brought you wonderful films like The Crying Game, Interview with the Vampire, Michael Collins, Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa, great movie.
To name a few, and now promoting a film that is opening March 1st. It stars Chloe Grace Moretz and Isabelle Huppert. It is called Greta. Please welcome Mr. Neil Jordan to our program today. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning. How are you all? Yeah, you good?
I'm sorry. Something just got in my eye right when you said that. You see me reach for my eye?
Yeah.
And I only heard half of what you said.
Oh,
like,
my God. I'm in agony. Neil, what did you do to him?
We were good right before.
Okay. Well, welcome.
It's an eyelash.
Damn it, that hurt. I'm sorry. Hey, Neil, how are you?
I'm very, very good. I'm great. Yeah,
sorry about that.
By the way, we are professional broadcasters. We just have eye problems. That's the only issue. I got to see the movie. A couple of us did. I love it. It is a thriller with all sorts of it takes a well worn cinema
trope
and adjusts it.
Yeah.
And I like it. I like that it's all women. We sort of know things that are coming, but then it gets turned slightly askew. And is that what drew you to the original subject matter?
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, this. It's a stalker movie, let's be honest, isn't it?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
In this case, the stalker is a very elegant French woman who wears Gucci, who carries Gucci handbags, and she wears Karl Lagerfeld suits and stuff like that. That's what drew me to it, really. You know, the fact that it was a genre piece, and this kind of movie, the monster is normally played by that gentleman over there.
Hannibal Lecter, yes. Anthony Hopkins, yeah.
Strange mouthpiece, you know. But in this case, it was this elegant piano, very good pianist,
yes.
French woman, yeah.
What is interesting, too, is that, and I immediately connected, you know, what you're doing resonates quickly, because you have Chloe Grace Moretz, who lost her mother, Isabelle Huppert is Greta. She's a widow. Her husband passed away. We don't really know her fully, her family situation, and that's obviously by intent. But these are lonely people who happen to be living in a super crowded city.
Yeah.
So, and it sort of plays on the fact that you have, where you would assume you would not be lonely, so many lonely people.
Oh, you're totally lonely. The definition of a city, isn't it? Like, what, 10 million people? Nobody to talk to?
Right, right.
Except your phone and your internet connections. But it's, I mean, it's about motherhood in a way, which is must be the greatest neurotic kind of pathology of all time, mustn't it, really? I mean, Chloe's lost her mother, and Greta herself, her daughter, has abandoned her, gone to Paris. So it's the presumption is they're both looking for a substitution of what they don't have.
And creating a faux family, so that's why they're so quick. Well, there's a malevolence in one aspect, but there's also a genuine need to replace a family member that's missing.
Well, she traps her, doesn't she?
Yeah, she traps her that way,
That's what gripped me to the story in the first place. That's what drew me in, you know?
So as you go with this and with the trailer, I was just curious because I love your movies. I love the way you pace them. And in this case, even in the trailer, it sort of tips the hand on what's going on early because it's less about that than it is about this dynamic between these two.
Yeah.
You know, at a certain point, waging war against each other.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, it kind of moves very fast, this film, you know?
I
think it should. I mean, if you spent an entire movie with these two characters and waited at the very end to say, oh, that handbag was a piece of bait, you know,
it
would be a bit disappointing. I mean, we get to the point very quickly in the first, 20, 30 minutes, really. And from then, the question is, you know, what has this woman got in her arsenal to terrify us with, you know?
Yeah, and it's a lot.
And she has a few things, I think, up her sleeve, doesn't she? And I mean, it's a very simple story, but it's kind of a thrill ride, and that's why I made it, really. And it's very much an audience movie, I think, you know?
With Isabelle Huppert, is that how it's pronounced properly?
Huppert.
So she's a phenomenal actress, and she's...
one of the best actresses in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. She is such an interesting choice for this character, for the sort of because she's just naturally in a European way, sort of seductive and inviting
and lethal.
And
like all French people, you know?
All French people are
well,
lethal.
Most,
yeah,
and English too. Actually,
did you have to convince her to take on this role? Did you have to work it a little bit, or how was her reaction?
No. She read the script. She was really interested, and she wanted to play a monster. Originally, when I sent it to her, it wasn't this sophisticated character, you know.
Okay,
and I said to her, Isabel, let's do this together. And if you do it, you know, I'll structure, I'll rewrite the part, I'll give you a little bit of that, you know, Chanel elegance. We'll have layers to your character, you know.
Right.
So basically, as the story develops, we realize she's this.
Hey, sorry.
This French thing is the veneer. Okay, let me be polite.
Sure.
Bullcrap is allowed.
Yeah, bullcrap is totally allowed. Yeah. It's some bizarre, stupid rules that we have here.
Okay, sorry about that.
No. It's not your fault. I love seeing. Is it Micah Monroe or
Micah Monroe? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm a fan of her. She plays Chloe Grace Moretz's roommate. And she's in a movie that I love called It Follows.
Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
that's why I cast her.
Oh,
yeah, I just thought, this is a brave, one extraordinary actress, yeah.
But you know what's interesting, though, in these movies is usually there's usually a guy who's either the subject of the stalker woman or he's the stalker. To have a sort of mom-daughter stalker relationship is what makes this unique, you know. And you're sort of the way we have John Ratzenberger on later on, who's been in every Pixar film, is sort of a good luck charm. Yeah. Stephen Rea is in this as well.
Oh yes, he gets it in the neck, doesn't he?
Yes,
he
does. Yeah. Is it just comforting to have him as part of the deal? Is he knows the phone's going
to
ring when you start a project?
To have him and to kill him. Yeah, I try to do that in most films. I do. No, we started making movies together years ago, and I mean, most people would know Steven through The Crying Game, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they would. Yeah. But if there's ever a part that I feel needs a bit of wit, you know, or a unique kind of spin on a familiar character, I ask Steven to play it, you know.
He's such a compelling guy who I think is incredibly underrated. There was a movie I talk about all the time. It was about the Russian serial killer, Chechenko, I think his name was. Citizen X.
He was good in that, wasn't he?
He was phenomenal.
That was a series, actually.
It was just a one-off.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But so with the story and with the film, you shot it, and correct me if I'm wrong, you shot it in order. Was that to allow the relationship between the two to be on screen?
Kind of. Didn't shoot it in order at all. That's a lie.
Total lie, huh? I was reading an interview where and they said that it was shot in order.
Well, we built the sets in Dublin. I couldn't afford to go to New York to build the sets.
Okay.
Because it was an independent movie. You haven't got a lot of money. So we built the sets on the soundstage next to my house in Dublin, actually.
That's pretty cool.
I suppose... when we had built the sets, you know, the interior scenes did happen in sequence, yeah.
All right.
But then we had to shoot the exteriors in New York, and we had to do little bits in Toronto and stuff like that. So,
does it work a lot of times with actors? If I mean, especially when you're having them a relationship that's going to descend or morph the way this does.
Yeah.
Does it help them to do that or
to watch shoot in sequence?
Yeah, to let them have it a natural.
I never know really. Yeah, because yeah. I mean, there's different energies in different scenes of movie, and the energies present themselves in different ways. You know, I mean, I'm sure it helps with the development of a character to shoot in sequence. Yeah, but in terms of, I mean, do you want the beginning of the film to be tentative and exploratory,
right?
And the end to be really wham bang? I mean. That's what happens if you're working with actors. You know, they're
right.
Feeling each other out in the first few scenes. So it might, you know, it might be better to mix it around a bit, you know.
So, are you pressing?
Did you research at all the, stalking techniques to make sure that you got some of the more inventive ways that people have been hounding others?
We did, yeah. This is a bit like a friendship, you know. I mean, Chloe plays a good Samaritan, really. She finds a handbag on the subway and she sees an address there and she goes to the lost property and they're closed. And it's kind of an elegant handbag, so she presumes there's not a ticking time bomb,
yeah.
You know, kind of thing. And she brings it to this house in Brooklyn and she meets this sweet lady. And I did. I mean, Isabel in particular did look at some of these horrendous... documentary accounts of captivity. There were some in Belgium, weren't there, and some in Germany. Mm-hmm. There was a guy called Fritzl, wasn't there?
That sounds vaguely familiar, yeah.
Yeah, he kept somebody at the bottom of his house for 12 years or something like that.
Years.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he had a child with her, actually. But, I mean, these kind of characters are generally men. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
That's
right.
What was interesting about this is that Isabel was exploring this... generally male pathology through a woman, and she was, you know, trying to work it out herself.
There's a dynamic that occurs when you're watching a movie like this, and this is what makes it, and this is a compliment, a good popcorn movie, is that you are, how would I do this? How would I elude this? What would I do to get heard if I was in a room? And all of that figures into it, and do all directors try to put on sort of a Hitchcockian sort of, you know, mindset when they're doing stuff like this to get that those sort of excruciating, like, oh.
Well, you know, Hitchcock was a master at creating kind of tension out of the most absurd situations.
Right, right.
He? And he said, the great question people always ask me, why don't they call the police? And Hitchcock used to say, well, they don't call the police because the story's over if they do. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a tremendous cynic, that man.
Yeah.
He would make dramatic tension out of absurdities, really, but he's a great master for a film.
You give enough to, like I say, I'm along for the ride. Just give enough to put it in the realm of, they just might do that, and then I'm on board.
Well, it's also exploring the psychological need between the mother and a daughter.
Sure.
Really, you know, Ersatz's mother and Ersatz's daughter. And
Are you aware, as a director, as a writer, at moments like that, like you had said, why don't they just call the police, that an audience member may be thinking that at that point in time.
Well, in this case, she does go to the police.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, the police say, come on, there's a sweet old lady. Like, she's just waiting for you to say hello to her.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do.
What am I going to do?
Yeah.
I can't. What can I do about that? I mean, I presume there are... I know there is legislation to deal with familial abuse or spousal abuse and stuff like that. But, you know, a random person on the street who says, I love your face, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, is that a crime?
Right. Well, I don't want to give too much away, and obviously I don't want to, but there's a sequence where the same police officer said basically there's nothing we can do, because he's right. She's standing across the street sort of watching Greta, you know, watching...
Chloe by the Grace. Letter of the law,
there's nothing she's doing.
But we have all done, and that's the other thing, it's like, even us sane people have all done something similar, you know. And we've talked about this on the air, like we've been broken up with. We've all done the drive-by.
The drive-by.
You know, like,
and that's the chilling part.
You see the light out of the window. Yeah. Who is that shadow?
But that's the chilling thing, because you can see yourself being Greta sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I am Greta. Yeah, Believe me. Don't ever leave me. Don't ever say you love me and then go. I'll put on a wig and I'll follow you.
Yeah. No, it's a cool dynamic, and this is what not for. And again, another compliment. It's would be a great date movie too, because just one of those deals. I want to ask you, because I'm a massive fan of Interview with a Vampire, and I love that movie and love every choice you made with that. I have to imagine the weight of bringing that to the screen at the time when it was the novel du jour, and
it was insane.
The weight of a fan base that was ready to jump
all
over
you. Kill me and yeah. my blood. Yeah, I know they were. Yeah.
So how do you any recollections from that period in time?
Yeah, I remember one thing. I remember going down to New Orleans. We were about to shoot, and I was in a bar, and this girl says, because Anne Rice wanted to cast Rudger Hauer as Lestat.
Right.
Huh. And this woman said, how can you cast Tom Cruise? And I say, well, why do you say that? She says, because I have Rudger Hauer tattooed on my butt. As Lestat. I said, really? She pulls up her skirt and she shows me a tattoo of Rudger Hauer with wild hair and teeth and all that.
That's commitment.
It was crazy.
Well, wow, he did get to play a vampire in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so she could say it's for that. So,
Neil, I wanted to ask, you won an Academy Award for Best Screenplay for The Crying Game. Mm. The Academy Awards are this weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, there on Sunday, yes.
You don't care, do you?
I do care, but I'm not there.
is that, you hear the phrase, the award shows, the awards don't mean anything, so on and so forth. Does the award really mean?
You know what they all say? You know, it's not a competition. We're all here. It's the art. You know, don't believe that for a moment. They want that prize.
Yeah, they
believe
do.
Me, they want it.
Well, it immediately translates to a box office kick.
What's that?
It immediately translates to a box office kick up, right? When usually it does.
Not anymore, I don't think.
Not anymore, you don't think, huh?
Does it really? I don't know. I mean, the movie business is changing so much, isn't it, really? But yeah, I suppose.
To me, as a consumer, when I do hear the award is won for whether it is a performance or an overall film or directing, it will make me go, you know what, I should check that out.
Yeah, but can I ask you a question?
There must be something.
Sure. If Roma wins, yeah? If it wins Best Picture, which it probably should, will it be in the theaters? It's not.
God, I hope not.
No.
I hated it.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't care for it, and maybe you and I can discuss it after the interview here, but it just moved entirely too slow for me, and to me it sort of stunk of like pomposity. I don't know.
Well, I liked this piece of filmmaking very
much.
But I mean, the thing is that it should be in the theater, shouldn't it? Really,
it did,
especially when it's
for
not.
A minute.
It's yeah, but it had a very brief. It didn't. It doesn't get like a massive, you know, release.
Yeah.
So and to the, I assume that's what you're saying is it usually ends up in a more.
Well, I mean, if assuming it does win Best Picture, how will it get a box office kick?
Right. Yeah. Also with rentals and purchasing and that at home, right?
Okay, good. Look, the business is changing so much. You know, it's weird.
I was reading an article of that Barry Diller. He was interviewed and he talked about the nature of the business to that point he basically said, and in fact, he flat out said, Hollywood is irrelevant now.
He said it's over. Yeah.
Yeah, and that it's Netflix and Hulu and
Amazon. But Netflix is based in Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just a different. It's a different delivery system. But has it changed that much?
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
You have no idea. I mean, a movie like what we're doing, Greta, like 15 years ago, it would have been made by Paramount or Sony. You know, they would have given us a budget of $35 million, you know?
Yeah.
I would have shot the whole thing in Astoria Studios in New York for 10, 12 weeks. You know, now you got to cobble it together with whatever independent financing you get. Do it for one-fifth of...
And do it next to your house.
Yeah, next to my house. Yeah. In my house.
Any chance you watched The Get Shorty on... It was actually on that.
I love that.
I did too, and go ahead.
What's his name?
His name is Chris O'Dowd.
Chris O'Dowd.
And he's also from Ireland. And the way you guys speak remind me of one another.
Well, he's from the county that my father was born in. I'll tell you a story about that. Because when I read Get Shorty, the book, Elmore Leonard rang me up for some reason. And I wanted to make that movie. I said, this is going to be a great film, you know. And obviously then he got a big Hollywood deal and he went with John Travolta or something. But But I think it's fun what they've done with it.
It's really great, and the movie is fantastic as well. This is the series is different than the movie. It's strung out and over many episodes. But just speaking of the filmmaking process, it must be similar to what you have to go through to make a movie like Greta.
What do you mean?
What Chris O'Dowd's character has to go through to try and get this movie made and just appeasing the studios and going to the right directors and getting the money and getting people, more money.
Killing people. How many people did you kill?
Seven. Avoiding mobsters.
I wanted to ask you quickly because it just popped up and I don't know if this is true or not. Were you working as an assistant or a creative consultant on the movie Excalibur, which is one of my favorite movies with John Borman?
I wrote the last draft of the script with John.
Oh, you did? I think that is a movie. That is underappreciated.
It's a lovely film, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And there's so many great talent.
It created a bit of a stir when it came out, didn't it?
I don't recollect, but yeah.
Yeah, it's a magical piece of work when you see it now, isn't it? I mean, you really went for it, John did, yeah.
Absolutely. So what's next up for you?
Yeah.
Me? Oh, God. I wrote novels sometimes. Yeah. I wrote a book called The Drowned Detective, and it's set in Budapest. It's all about the Danube River and how it invites people to drown themselves in it.
Wow, that's intriguing.
It's a scary ghost film, and I've written a script that I hope to do in the summer.
Very nice.
There's various other things I'm working on, you know.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, Greta is first and foremost, and it opens right away. It's March 1st is when you will be able to see it. So like you said, it's a popcorn movie.
Great thriller.
Go and enjoy it.
See it in the movies.
Yeah, most definitely. Chloe Grace Moretz stars in Isabelle Huppert. Well, Neil, it was great to meet you.
Thank you. Great to meet you.
Continued success. Good luck with Greta, and thanks for coming by this morning.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Neil Jordan, everybody.
Yeah!
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Fred Thompson.
Hello, Frederick.
Here we go.
Here comes the MM Army.
What's going on?
Friday from 7 to 9, Marissa Magnata and 2019 Calendar Girls LC and Alexa rock Piccadilly Inn, 866 US 206 in Chemung, New Jersey, with a Preston and Steve's Totally Office calendar raid. Saturday from noon till 2, Nick McElwain rocks the grand opening of Pink's Hot Dogs in the King of Prussia Mall, located in the new expansion corridor in Savor. Join Marissa Magnata Saturday from noon till 2 at the Sprint store at 1235 Chestnut Street in Center City. Check out Sprint's phones on super fast and affordable plans at great prices and enter to win a VIP package at NMR's Cardboard Classic, including lift tickets and an overnight stay. Sprint, brighter future for all.
93.3 WMMR, everything and everywhere that rocks.
Cats on Roombas, Wawa Pump Number 12, Redneck Yacht Club, Septa Bus Party, Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go. These are not just random words that I'm throwing at you folks.
No.
These are sleds in the Cardboard Classic 1 week from today at Jack Frost Mountain. We will be in the E2000 Lounge this time next week.
Yeah.
As we're starting to see people put together the creations in the parking lot and getting ready to haul them up onto the sledding hill and bring them soaring down to victory or crashing and demolished into absolute disintegration for the worst, the best fail. Who knows?
Yeah, whatever the scenario, there's prizage to be won.
Yes, there
and
is.
You took a look at the projected forecast for Friday.
Looks great.
33, 34, sunny.
Yeah, like 30, 35 and sunshine. Yeah. Fantastic.
That's
so,
what we need.
Is it still hanging there, Nick?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got bacon in my mouth.
Cloudy, actually. The following weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Friday. Oh, maybe a snow shower.
Oh,
yeah,
great.
That doesn't matter.
That'll be fine.
You know what I'd like? A super powerful nor'easter.
No, you don't want that. That was last year, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, we had one of those already.
So please come and join us. Be a part of the festivities. We would love to see you there. It's going to be a good time. Fun had by all.
Yes.
All right. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Godshall's. Eat lighter with Godshall's real meat, real wood smoked turkey bacon with up to 80% less fat than pork bacon. Godshall's turkey bacon, except no imitations. Well, another man was caught on a Ring doorbell camera licking a doorbell.
What is this licking the doorbell thing?
I think there's going to be more of this happening now that this is starting to take off. This time it took place at a home in Lake Worth, Florida. The video was recorded at 6:11 a.m. In the video, the man is standing outside the front door, leans into the doorbell to lick it. He then licks it again and again and again.
He then positions what looks like a stack of newspapers in front of the camera and points, but it's unclear what exactly he's trying to point out in the paper.
Newspapers.
Before leaving, the man comes back to lick the doorbell even more.
I wasn't done.
This, of course, is the second time recently a person was caught licking a doorbell. Ring doorbell camera captured a man in Salinas, California. In that instance, a man licked the doorbell for 3 hours, according to the homeowner.
I could see sucking on a doormat.
Right.
But that licking, makes sense.
Licking
a doorbell?
That's no. Not doing anybody any good. Doctors have pulled 4 pounds of rocks, bottle caps, and coins from a man's stomach after he went to the hospital with a stomach ache. When the 54-year-old sought help from medics, they noticed that he was bloated. Doctors felt had a feel of the problem area, and they found something resembling small stones when they touched his belly.
Oof.
Scans then showed a massive buildup of objects that were occupying the patient's entire stomach. When questioned about his stomach mass, the South Korean patient admitted to often swallowing coins and pebbles whenever he felt anxious.
They also found 5 ring doorbells.
Despite taking anti-anxiety drugs to calm him down. Medics reported that they first tried to remove the objects using a gastroscopy, where a thin tube is inserted in the stomach via the mouth, but there were simply too many objects to remove, so that approach didn't work.
When you're a doctor, that's got to be the equivalent of the crane game.
Yeah, right.
Right?
The next day, surgeons decide to extract the foreign objects one by one. They found that they included pebbles, coins, bottle caps.
I got a bottle cap!
After 9 days in the hospital, the patient was allowed to go home, but it's still unclear how long all that debris had been in his system.
Nurse, you take a crack at it. There's a knife in there, too.
A man said that he did what he had to do when he protected himself, his dog, and his neighbor when he was faced with an overly aggressive coyote. The coyote was killed, and his dog is getting frequent checkups to make sure that rabies is not an issue. The guy named Ben Poole said, "My dog and coyote were standing face-to-face, fixing the go at it." He said he was able to get the two animals apart, and he said, "Then he came at my legs. So I smashed him in the side of the head with my coffee cup."
Wow.
"And then he came at me again. I smashed him again, and then he jumped up at my face. When he did that, I jumped back, smacked him in the side of the head, and he screamed and went down."
Jesus. He said the coyote was on a pair of Acme jet skis.
He managed to get himself and his dog up the street and home, but says the coyote was relentless. He said it was extremely aggressive. It did not respond to anything I'd ever heard, like making noise.
Was it rabid?
They don't know. Okay. The more I did that, the madder it got, and the more it came at me. Poole got a gun and went off in his truck. He said, "I was going to shoot it out the window because I didn't want to get out and fight it again. And when I did, it jumped up at the window of the truck. I rolled the window down, went 3 or 4 times at it, and finally ran over it." He said, "No regret, none. I'd do it again in a heartbeat."
Actually, it was kind of fun.
Poole feels the coyote population is only going to get larger and fears that it's only going to get more complicated, and that's why he wants more support from state and local officials. He's not facing any charges.
The thing attacked him.
Yeah, exactly.
I told you I had one run right by me in Mount Airy.
Yeah, yeah.
In my backyard.
They are out there. A California college student allegedly created an app so he could sell drugs on campus.
Now, that's a young entrepreneur.
Totally. Colin Howard, who's 18 years old, was indicted Thursday on charges that he possessed and distributed cocaine and methamphetamine.
Oh,
what?
Those drugs.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought he was, like, trying to sell pot on campus. And...
No.
Right. Hardcore stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The University of California, Santa Cruz student allegedly developed the Banana Plug app, a play on the school's mascot, Sammy the Banana Slug, on which students could request drugs such as cocaine, molly, and shrooms. Posters advertising the app, which was available on the Apple App Store, were hung on the Santa Cruz campus. A police officer spotted the poster and, working in coordination with Homeland Security investigations, allegedly used the app to buy marijuana and cocaine from Howard and then used Snapchat to set up the drug deal.
It's a perfect app, though, because people who are junkies tend to be a little lethargic.
An undercover agent made the purchase and then allegedly continued to communicate with Howard. The agent made several more purchases, including 5 grams of methamphetamine, before arresting Howard. On Friday, Howard was arrested on 4 charges stemming from the distribution and possession of drugs. He faces a minimum sentence of 5 years in prison, maximum of 40 years, and as much as $10 million in fines. So
you have to imagine the level of hubris where you just put this app out there and think no one's going to make something of it.
And they put up posters.
Posters.
Advertising it. That's the really stupid part about it. And then one last story. Police arrested a man for his 23rd gas drive-off from the same gas station. So he would fill up and leave. Without paying.
Okay, would the pump still be attached?
No, okay. That's me. Carl Kenyon was arrested after an incident Monday at a convenience store, and here's what he said. The Kenyon told police that he has a layaway system with the Quick Trip.
Like a Christmas club.
And he was in a hurry on Monday, but he says he always pays for the gas eventually.
Put it on my tab, Floyd.
Quick Trip estimates Kenyon owes for 14 of the 23 drive-offs, a total of about $803.90.
Okay.
Police requested charges of retail theft and bail jumping due to previous retail theft cases. Obama said at $100 for Kenyon during a court appearance.
You guys ever have a tab anywhere?
No. I mean, at a bar, but not one where you can leave
and then come back
and eventually get back to it. No.
I think the classic bar tab is about, and that's the only thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
If you go to a casino.
At the general store, Preston, when you're buying, you know, feed for the chickens and stuff.
Right. Sometimes they'll just say, pay back later. No, but at casinos, you can get what's called a marker. And they will. That's essentially that.
And I think also at most gas stations, you just ask them to throw it on your tab there.
You ever have one?
Yeah, we did. There was a place called Rita's. It was just a little corner store around the corner from my house. And this guy, Walt, he let us run a tab. I mean, the tab never really got out of control.
A $250,000.
No, it was, you get Walt. Like a hoagie or a hot dog or whatever. Hey, just put on my tab and, the tab, I don't think it would ever get past like 10, 20 bucks or something like that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's
sort of a sweet time. It makes you think of a more innocent time.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we return, Frank Caliendo will be in the studio once again.
Yes.
Coming by because he's going to be at Parks Casino tonight, 8 o'clock is the show. You can go to parkscasino.com to get the tickets. Plus, Mr. Skin, Rich Voss, John Ratzenberger. We got a lot of people on this morning's program. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
The Preston and Steve love you.
Become an MMR VIP. Get early access to concert pre-sales, special deals, and VIP-only contests. You'll get our newsletter about twice a month, most of which you'll find worthwhile. Sign up now at WMMR.com.
Has anybody had any of the keto chicken bacon balls yet?
I have not.
Okay, yes. I wasn't sure. That's from Godshall's Turkey Bacon, who happens to be here.
I was totally keto all last week, and then I stopped because I like bread and chocolate.
They say that the best way to do it is keto for 5 days, strictly bread for 5 days.
No, it really, everything to do with the fact that I just didn't plan it out, and so when I didn't have any keto stuff in my house, I said, okay, peanut butter and jelly sandwich it is.
Do you know what they need to do? They need to market a peanut butter and jelly product that is just called keto.
Yeah,
that'll sell.
I'm doing keto.
That'll fly. So anyhow, Godshall's Turkey Bacon is here. We'll do some giveaways in just a moment, but I want to give them some love. You can go to godshallsturkey.com. Our next guest is here. He's back, was here not that long ago, and is returned because his show is tonight at Parks Casino, 8 o'clock. The one and only Frank Caliendo.
Yay! I like to think of myself as a recurring friend.
Yes. Yeah,
you know what? That's a good way to put it.
Not even a recurring guest, just a friend.
How about a traveler along life's highways?
And
the Jack Kerouac of comedy.
That's exactly what I think of myself. How I think of myself. 100%.
A beatnik, sort of.
No.
No.
Where are you going with this?
I
guess that's why I realized you get shut down a lot. Because if people go with you, it continues.
It's horrible. My wife always will be on. I'll just say things, and she'll. I'll say casually without any inflection of any sort of comedic overtones, and she'll later on. Steve says there really is a Godzilla. I do stuff like that all the time.
Well, I was thinking for Casey, it's more of a Cro-Magnon diet that you look like. That's what that's starting to. It looks almost like an 80s baseball player. That's where I feel like he's kind of a John Kruk type of look. 90s.
Yeah, that's not bad. Like that. Yeah. That's not bad at all.
Casey, for those who don't know, is growing out his beard and hair.
And by the way, so you mentioned baseball. So, like, I have the things that I think, the young baseball players, they call it the wings. Where the
hemorrhoids?
The hair flies out of the hat, like over the ears.
Yeah.
And it's something that people strive for.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I hate that.
Really?
Oh, my
God.
Oh,
I love it.
Tuck it behind your ears, pretty boy.
Yeah. Wait, on yourself or for other people?
On myself or other people. I remember seeing in particular, and there are some people who can get away with it, like Jack Nicholson. Jack can go out disheveled, and Jack is still Jack, and he looks cool no matter what.
Listen, I can do whatever I want. Right now, I'm not wearing pants.
But he'll have those little wings. flicking out. I'm like, you look stupid.
He can have crazy hair.
Yeah.
Not a problem. But, you know, that's...
So that's a thing now?
It's a thing. Oh, my nephew is almost 17, and he might even be... He's 17, and he's a baseball player, and that's like... That was something that took a little while for him to get.
There's something weird about baseball players now that they look like they all are from the mountains.
Yeah.
A lot of them, like right, especially man. Pitchers. I don't know when that started, but baseball players look like they're in a different century.
They look like Dinty Moore. Like that, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, especially towards the playoffs. In fact, all professional sports, or most of them, have taken the lead from hockey players.
True.
Which is in the playoffs to grow your beard. And now they're all doing it during the latter part of the season.
And then the next thing will be they lose some teeth, and then they look like Casey's driver's
license. Right.
But I, you know, so speaking of beards, I don't like shaving because it hurts in certain spots. So when you guys shave your mustaches, doesn't that like, don't you get that little like tug? Doesn't that hurt?
Are you actually using a razor or like a wood
an
player?
Epilady.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
No,
use a Harry. Harry's. I swear to God, he speaks the truth. I endorse them for a while. Preston doing them right now. They're really well made. You will not notice that.
But now I can't because my wife likes the way the facial hair looks. So
really,
over the summer,
you don't have to say it like that. Really?
What? Well,
kidding?
I think it's a cool look. It does remind me though of the Aborigine from the Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. But I shaved fully, like my face. And by the way, Frank Caliendo is here, guys.
I'm a recurring friend.
I shaved my whole face this past summer, and my wife laughed at me. She's like, "You look ridiculous." I was like, "What?"
That's great. Your clean face bothers me.
Was there a shaggy Frank Caliendo period? A hippie?
Most of my life. Yeah. I mean, I'm Italian. I can grow hair in a day.
Okay,
so,
yeah,
I could be Nick in about 6 hours. Grizzly Adams, if you want to use a real topical reference.
I do see that. You do have, when's the last time you shaved? Because you've got 5
probably
o'clock.
Yesterday.
Yeah,
yesterday?
You got 5 o'clock now. Yeah. So,
So were you ever adopting the mountain manish Grizzly Adams look or not?
Not really. My dad, I apologize if this is like something wrong. I never know if what my dad might have said might be insulting
incorrect
to some people. Yes, or something. But he used to say, "You look like a Bushman." I don't even know what a Bush. I don't know what that is.
Probably
from Australia.
A tracker, yeah.
Is that what it is? I don't think that's what it was.
No, an Aboriginal Bushman from Australia?
I don't know because I just don't see him being global with his insults.
Does he
to
mean
me?
Like of the Bush family?
Yeah. That's a Bushman, man.
So that got into your head early on. So, you know.
No, I don't think so because I'm just a slob, anyways, most of the time. But
there's do you know Josh Wolf, the comedian, Josh Wolf?
I know of him, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So he was in not too long ago and. For some reason, when he was a kid, his friend's father had a big time aversion to short pants, and even like
I think everyone has an aversion to short pants.
Just shorts. Shorts.
Oh, just shorts.
Yeah.
Okay. But then that's to say shorts.
All right. Fair enough.
Wait, why did you call it short pants?
Because that's
short
what pants. He called it.
Oh, I thought because he's from the 1950s. So I thought that's.
But he's a kid, and he went over to.
I'm starting over.
Father, I keep my snuff in my short pants.
Hit the rewind button, Steve.
All right.
Boys. Let's start over again here. Hang on a second. There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Frank Kelly, though.
Can I at least get an extra plug out of that
thing? May I tell you something?
What is happening?
Frank, we consider you a friend.
Right, yeah, I'm trying to be an enemy. I think that would go over better for me. Yeah.
Be a mortal enemy of the show.
Oh, that would be fun, though.
Who's your nemesis? Lurk.
My nemesis. Oh.
Have you ever had a nemesis?
Not yet, but I feel like I'm having an origin story for one right now.
Well, we talked last time, comic book.
Yeah, which I didn't know you were into so much.
Well, Jesus Christ, you see all the stuff all
over. I don't look around. Yeah. I'm very narcissistic. I get in here and let's talk about me.
Yeah.
Oh, there are hosts here.
It's huge, yeah. We had no idea you were such a...
I grew up with cartoons and all the comic book people are really mad at me because of the cartoon. I grew up on the Super Friends and the like 70s Spider-Man stuff. So like, that's the worst. I'm like, that's my childhood.
It was your entree.
Yeah.
That right. Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, later at the Legion of Doom.
That was the greatest announcer.
Yes. Because, that's right. Because, the Wonder Twins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wonder Twin powers activate. Shape of a donkey. Form of donkey spit. Why? We don't know. We need Gleek to combine. So, oh but the announcer, the writing was so bad in those 70s Hanna-Barbera cartoons.
It was terrible.
That the announcer would just say what was going to happen, and then it would happen like, later, at the Legion of Doom, Lex Luthor plans to take over the world. I have a plan to take over the world.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, Aquaman prepares a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because he's off his keto diet.
Who wants a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Right? That's all Aquaman.
It was that sonar. That sonar.
That sonar thing that would yep. go get a seahorse that he could ride.
A giant seahorse.
But it would be the same collection of sea creatures that would show up. It would be like five porpoises, a seahorse, and an octopus.
They were just a group of friends like us.
Did anyone know a whale shark? You know, there was just no one.
No, there was no intimidation. They weren't intimidating. They were cute sea creatures.
I love those, though. Do you remember the Mary Marvel Marching Society, the Marvel comics, where they would have, they were not animated well, but they were drawn true to the Marvel mm-hmm. thing. So they would have the cartoons were, it was Tony Stark, Hulk, it was Iron Man, Hulk. Who else would they have? Captain America, when Captain America throws his mighty shield.
I kind of, yeah.
Right, and they all had these songs, but they were really done well, but they were, you know, they weren't animated that well. So,
right, yeah.
But, I mean, that was my entree into Marvel Comics.
I remember going back, and if you go back and you watch some of the Hanna-Barbera stuff, though, too, you'll laugh because they'll, like, use an arm from some other cartoon that they didn't color in or something, and they're like, we're out of arms. Just throw this one in here. It'll go faster.
No.
Right. And, like, Wonderbug, or not Wonderbug, that was a Sid Marty Krofft Speed Buggy.
Yeah.
Was just all, yeah.
Yeah.
He was just all the Scooby-Doo people with different clothes on and different hair color.
Yeah.
Like, it was that
Shaggy
simple.
Was there.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, like, I'm just a different kind of hippie right now.
Yep. Who did Casey Kasem play in the Justice League? Was he Robin?
Yeah, he was Robin.
Right.
And originally they had Adam West. And I shouldn't say originally. There were different intonations of those cartoons.
Yeah.
But to listen to Adam West just go, fine citizens, we must. Like, he was, like, you could tell he was kind of bringing it up even a little bit more than his 60s Batman series. Mm-hmm. But I just, the Super Friends, and then they went to this place called the Universe of Evil.
Right.
And that was where Superman, they were all bad versions of themselves. Aquaman had an eye patch.
Why not?
Because an eye patch
is evil.
Is wow. evil.
Yeah.
People with one eye, they're just evil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, but yeah. So I grew up with some of those, and they all knock me because that's where I go. I would get some of the comic books as a kid.
So you get crap for that?
Well, they just, it's something
purists.
They can make fun of me.
Yeah.
Because
everyone, some of these, they get a little too crazy with this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think so. But yeah. they love the comic books from the comic origin.
Yeah.
You know, it's that. And I came in on cartoons first and then kind of went backwards. That's what my daughter's doing now. She broke her elbow. I was talking to Marissa about this, and she broke her elbow on her birthday last year at a trampoline park. And she's a gymnast, so she's done all that stuff, and she breaks it on her birthday. It still hasn't quite healed yet. There's something funky going on.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, but she's gotten into comics and the MCU and all that kind of stuff. We might have talked about it some last
time. Yeah, that's awesome. But, with Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is incredible. I don't think she'd done this last time. So there's a comic called Spawn Kills Everybody.
I love Spawn.
Okay, but yeah. it's like the cartoon.
I'm not familiar with this one.
On every page, he just kills somebody else. So he goes in, and it's like, I think the origin of it is he's at like a Comic-Con or something, and everybody's dressed up like other characters. So Spawn just goes and offs everybody. She got to color in Spawn's cape for the next issue. So
that's cool. Wow.
Yeah, I have a video of that, and Todd just spends so much, and she loves it because for people who don't know, Todd MacFarlane, he just got the.
I mean, Todd MacFarlane.
Yeah. Oh, did you say Seth?
Yeah.
Even he gets it screwed up.
Yeah, yeah. no doubt.
But he just got the rights to, for because he has McFarlane Toys. He does all those figures, the sports figures. But he's got the rights to DC, I believe, at the New York Toy Fair. And he's got, like, Harry Potter and Game of Thrones.
Wow.
So it's...
You're multi millions of dollars.
Oh, ridiculous. And he's the nicest guy in the world. But when you're worth hundreds of millions of dollars, you can be happy.
So, what, does he live in your... Does he live...
He lives, like... couple miles away, just down the street.
Oh,
I didn't even realize that his office is on the same street that I live on. What, essentially,
what's his house? What's his place like?
Have you I've not been to his house yet.
Should you show up?
Well, I heard when he was really trying to push Spawn years and years ago, there used to be a Spawn trailer that was. I think he had a funny car too, maybe.
Wow.
So
they're making another movie, you know.
I think it's what's his name? Really good. When I can't think of a name, Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx.
I believe Jamie Foxx was in talks for that. Not through.
He would be good.
Yeah. There's producers. Somebody can Google it.
I'm curious as to why you haven't focused on doing more voice work in your career. Because
I don't think I've been very good at it. When I first went to LA.
I disagree.
You're right, probably.
See, we are friends.
I think when the impressions are pretty good.
But so is the voice. You can act and you can, you know.
I was a terrible actor when I first went to L.A., though. I got there and I would do all these impressions. Then they had me read something and they're like, okay, now maybe make it seem like you're in a scene like, instead of reading. I'm like, I'm not. I thought I was doing really well here because everybody was
Could
quiet
you maybe
and focused.
Act? Yeah. Have you ever looped dialogue for somebody?
Probably some small things, but never in the movie stuff.
Because I think Craig Schumacher does the
Barney,
Don Knotts.
Does he still do this?
he looped his dialogue for some of his dialogue for Pleasantville.
And he'll show up in Family Guy when they need a random Don Knotts, you know, speaking of Seth MacFarlane, like he'll call up Craig Schumacher and he'll do whatever.
I think I told you this before. They had me, Family Guy had me come in and do something once and they didn't like it and they never called back.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a De Niro. And I was like, hey, what's going on here? And they're like, that doesn't sound like him. I'm like, all right, I guess I shouldn't make a living at this. I don't know. I didn't take any offense to it. I was just like, I've always been terrible at this. And I went and did a couple, Phineas and Ferb. I did one of those.
In fact, you turned me on to Phineas and Ferb. I went to your show at the Borgata.
Okay.
It was you and Jeff Gordon were talking about this show. And I thank you for that because I love that cartoon.
It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And they have another show now. Those guys did. Disney only does a certain amount of shows because then they have to pay people a lot more, I believe, is
they
what
it is. They
don't
like that.
But there's I'm having trouble with Recall this morning, which is really great. Maybe taking some notes, some note cards would help out.
Sure.
But what I'm doing now is filling in the blanks with just talking until somebody says me and change the subject.
I have a question for you.
It's like A Beautiful Mind. You're seeing words, but they're not coming together.
Yeah, and they're in a different language. That's part of the issue.
Frank, can you sing?
I probably could. I can show you the world. I don't know why that came.
Great. Never had a friend like me. What's this genie?
Okay. I could, but I can't. Once the music starts, and I always found that on American Idol, you ever notice people can sing pretty well when they're just doing it a cappella?
Sure.
But once the music comes in, you have to hit the beats and then you have to think for stuff.
Yeah.
And I really struggle when I have to sing to somebody else's timing.
Yeah.
That's a big problem I have. So I can't, like when I had that show in Vegas, I had a band that was there. It was almost like making fun of Vegas shows.
Right.
But they would kick into stuff. I'm like, do I start now? And now it's Jeff Goldblum doing Hakuna Matata. Hakuna Matata means no what? No worries. so there's, I don't know, the voice, I wish I'd have gotten better at it and gotten, because if you get in there, you're like there forever.
I can't imagine that it's not something worth revisiting. You're too talented to not, and we know people who honestly don't even have a fifth of your vocal chops and abilities and are doing pretty well. So
I mean, but they have the confidence in it. That's part of it too. And I live in Arizona. So
yeah, that's
true. You can phone everything in, but they like you to be there unless you are one of those people that's been around forever.
Right.
And you know, and I Maybe eventually when I'm 80, I'll get an old man. This is the here's Jeff Goldblum old. Hey,
Well, you can be. Maybe they can catch you as the clown for in Spawn with the you know the, when they do that. That's a cool character.
Yeah, I'll take anything. Who am I kidding? I'm not gonna be picky. Well, have you guys seen this show, Umbrella Academy?
Yeah,
we're just talking about it.
Just finished it.
I watched the first episode and tapped out, and then these guys continue watching.
You didn't like it.
Well, they convinced me to go back to it.
Oh, it's so much fun.
I'm in love with it.
There's an actor in there that was in Mindhunter. His name's Cameron Britton, and he plays Hazel. Hazel and Cha-Cha?
Yeah.
The way he talks is so interesting.
Yes.
And he plays in Mindhunter, he plays this serial killer.
The first one?
But yeah. Is there more than one Mindhunter?
Well, no. The first serial killer that he meets?
It's the big guy in the jail.
That's the same guy.
That is the guy who we were talking about.
Dan Cummins. Yeah,
he's a genius.
Yeah.
And he's just up on the screen.
Yes. Yeah. He's fantastic. I think he was nominated for an Emmy. But he's got
the actual serial killer he's portraying was Mensa level smart.
He's just so much. I can't not watch him.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it was him at first because he toned it in Mindhunter. It was like almost Forrest Gump, of a level of a character,
mm-hmm.
but his normal way of talking is pretty close to that.
The one I'm hooked up on is this character Klaus in Umbrella Academy. Hilarious,
nuts,
whoever this actor is, he's great.
Yeah, he sells. Well, he's drugged out of his mind.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he sells it so well, and just keeps doing. He's so into the character, and he's so into the scene that you're going, this guy's not acting.
He just lives in it.
Yep. He's fantastic.
I'll tell you who's really good is the guy I don't know if you follow, if you've been watching Gotham, which is coming to a wrap-up.
Yes.
But the guy who's playing the Joker.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Is fan-freaking-tastic. You know, and I try not to advise people. You got to watch this show because there's so many goddamn shows to watch. It's impossible.
A friend of mine is on that show. He's Solomon Grundy.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Drew Powell.
He's great.
Oh, yeah. Drew
Powell, and he was a great Solomon Grundy.
Yeah, he was Butch Gilzean, who turns out, when he actually dies for like the third time, because that's what happens in superhero shows.
Yeah.
But then they're like, they give his, I can't remember his alter ego name, but it turns out he's the guy who turns into Solomon Grundy.
Steve and I have professed that these the MCU in particular, when these movies come out, these are like what concerts were when I was like a teenager.
You
get that excited about when the movies are coming out and going to see them, you know?
Well, I rented out a theater for the podcast I'm doing, the Comic Playground podcast, because... we're just going to go there, and then we're going to live stream, talk about it that night.
After
it comes out. So
Captain America? Captain Marvel?
Yeah, Captain Marvel. Did I say Captain America?
No, I did.
Okay. Sorry. I heard you say it. I didn't know if I'd said it. And I've gotten so many names wrong or not remembered them this morning that it could have been anything. Yeah. Mark. So we'll go do that. We're actually going on the Thursday on the preview show.
Yeah,
and you guys probably do that kind of stuff all the time.
We're having a press screening early.
Okay,
and then the one thing is I want to make sure it's on a 3D. I'm like, apparently it's awesome in 3D.
Oh, so really? I don't enjoy 3D personally.
I used to despise it, and now I freaking love it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can take it or leave it.
My daughter gets headaches, it's all up to her. But I don't know.
I lose bladder control. But that's cool. So have you ever considered? So with the podcast that you're doing, have you ever considered taking that out on the road?
We will as it develops. It's getting better. The podcast started out one of these. There's two that I'm doing. One's the more serious kind of one. It's Alan Frank Try to Be Serious. And that's more like issues.
Yeah.
It's like talking about political things without being political.
You talked about that.
And people say, like, Nick's always like, yeah, that sounds fun. I'm never going to listen, but it sounds fun. And then the Comic Playground is actually I'm going to change the title and broaden it more because my main audience doesn't seem to be going straight to comic books, and that's not really what it is. It's Gotham. It's Umbrella Academy. It's a little bit of everything. It's superhero talk.
Change the title to the Adam Carolla Show.
Get a little nasally and have analogies that kind of make sense and then suddenly do. I think we will take that out on the road. We're gonna go to some Comic Cons and stuff like that too eventually.
Cool.
But I want to be around that world a little bit more, and with my daughter being so into it,
it's so cool that you had. So Preston talked about the story about his kids are well now they're teenagers. The boys are, but they're into the rock that he loved growing up.
Oh, it's
you
great.
Know, and yeah. to, and, oh, right. and it wasn't music, forced yeah. on him, so okay. it just happened by natural attrition.
Mm-hmm. Well, my son is for some reason into 90s rap. I don't even know what that is. Early
well, that's all you.
There's one thing that describes me. It's
90s.
It's
rap.
90s rap. But he's a ton of Eminem stuff and all. It's
okay.
Like
Snoop and Dre, that stuff too.
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Oh yeah.
That's
I mean, it's interesting to me because. I would think he'd be into current stuff, but he and his friends are all about a decade behind.
Well, maybe that's what his real dad is into.
Could be. Could be. Unless you saw him, and then you'd be like, oh, okay. No, that's Mini Frank. Now, Nick, you had some things you were talking about we were going to do before, and was I just too interesting?
Yeah, you just talked
yeah,
way too
you
much.
Actually, you were.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, we could... Time-wise, we got
to you guys have other
up.
Stuff to do. I'm not trying to...
If, no, we we'll have a conga line. We just wanted to remind people what a good friend you were.
Oh, yes. That is, recurring cool. friend.
Yeah. And, by the way, we should plug both appearances this weekend because it's Parks tonight and then tomorrow in AC.
Yes. Parks and Ben... Is it Ben Salem?
Yes.
Is that where the Witch Trials were?
Yep.
Is
yes,
that where
the
that,
Ben Salem Witch Trials.
The Ben Salem Witch Trials.
Yes.
Legendary.
Ben Salem 5. Is that another thing? So Parks tonight. Is it... Because I haven't been there before.
The Excite Center. I'm sure that's where you are.
Yeah. And then in Atlantic City, is it it's Ocean Casino? Or
Ocean
is it
Resort.
Ocean Resort Casino.
Yep.
That's the first time, and I've heard that's great as well.
Yep.
So
yep.
really looking forward to both of those.
Yeah, you're going to like the new venue in Parks. It's a really cool spot. So we did an event there in December.
It's great. It's excellent. Really acoustically and everything.
Really
it's just
cool
a
room.
Great room.
And I wasn't trying, I hope you guys, I wasn't trying to stay extra time and do the stuff Nick had planned. I just wanted to think that I was not trying to, like, divert his ideas.
No.
Like, because look at him now. He's like, why are you doing this?
I know. I was pretty disappointed.
Honestly,
no.
We love it when we have stuff planned and we never get to it.
Okay,
that's,
good.
That's a good sign.
Because I felt like a jerk. I was like, geez, maybe I'm just not giving any pauses.
Well, you're coming back next week, right?
It's actually, I'm back. You guys go to what? One?
Yeah,
I'll be
yeah.
here from noon to one.
The Jack Kerouac of comedy.
In the time you guys aren't even actually on. And the midday person is just cashing checks.
Right. Well, listen, Frank is going to be at Parks tonight, 8 o'clock. You can get tickets at parkscasino.com or just go to Ben Salem and go to Parks Casino and go see him. And then if you're in AC, Ocean Resort Casino show tomorrow night. That's at 9 o'clock. So make sure you check out our recurring friend, Frank.
It's good
I
to
appreciate
see you,
it,
man.
Guys. All night long, Morgan Freeman.
Thank you. Frank Caliendo! We'll take a break. We'll come back, Mr. Skin, in the 20th Annual Anatomy Awards. Stay down.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 90.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I'd like to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. We are headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 1st for our 13th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. Go to WMMR.com to score lift tickets for just $20 and for details on how to register your sled to compete for cash and prizes. From WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Prince Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Taking time for yourself isn't selfish, it's self-care. Schedule a massage or facial at your local Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa with a relaxing massage or refreshing facial for just $59.95 for first-time guests. Visit one of their 50 area locations or handandstone.com.
Scoot up Valentine's Day? Diamonds will get you out of the doghouse. Make it up to her with Stevens Angel Heart Diamond Necklace for only $128. Online at IHateStevensSinger.com or at the other corner of 8th and Walnut. Stevens Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Sunday, the Academy Awards are coming up. So that is this Sunday, right?
It is this Sunday, yeah. Well, the hostless Academy Awards. Yeah.
That means that it is time for a different award ceremony, and 20 years strong now for this. It's hard to believe. And I think we've
as been, long as we've been on air.
I think we've been talking to him for that long.
Yeah.
Please welcome to promote the 20th Annual Anatomy Awards, Mr. Skin.
Hey, President Steve.
Hey. How you guys doing? You know, you're right. When I first did the Anatomy Awards in March of 2000, and when I look back at it, it was just these couple of links, you know, maybe 12 or 14 categories, and they were just little links to nude scenes and things. And now we are 20 years later, and with my great tech team and writers and everything else, I'm really proud of our 42 categories and how it's laid out on the website.
Yeah, as well you should be. I think it's criminal every time they lavish praise on Google, and here you are, you know, doing basically the same thing, but just for nudity.
Well, I hope I could roll out some of my own red carpet for you guys in this award ceremony.
We would appreciate. Listen, I got to tell you, looking at the, there's just a wealth of nominees this year.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a, I think, a wealth of surprises. And honestly, we keep saying it every time you're on, but, oh, this has been a banner year. This has been a banner year. But this has been a banner year again.
Yeah, well, listen, it's really getting easy because way back in 2000 when I first did this, there were only like probably around 20 shows that had nude scenes. Female nude scenes back then. I combine television and movies because it's all the same to me as far as I'm concerned. But now here we are in 2019. Last year, 2018, there were 144 shows across all those platforms like Netflix and Hulu and you know, HBO, Showtime, and 144 shows that show female nudity, not to mention all of the movie stuff. So what's fun for me with my Anatomy Awards is we watch all of this and bring out the crazy, wild, fun stuff that most people don't even know existed. And it's really fun to curate this stuff for the website.
I mean, you're going across all sorts of everything from TV to movies to reality shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, stuff happened on reality shows. We had our best accidental nudity of the year, and it's usually going to come from a reality show because in this case it was Omarosa on Celebrity Big Brother. So that's on CBS, but they did a live stream on February 9th of last year, and she was wearing a robe with no bra, and it truly was accidental, because if you watch the scene, her robe gets caught in the chair, and her whole right breast pops out, and it's just like, only because it was live did we see it. They didn't have a chance to edit it.
Just to clarify, you actually have someone watching the live stream of Big Brother?
Well, we recorded it because, you know, you never know. And there we had it, Omarosa, right breast. That was our best accidental nude scene of the year.
Okay. All right. One of the things I love, and we'll get to some of the big awards, but is how creative you and your team are with coming up some awards. One of our favorites of years past was the Best Swingers, which is when you see a woman's naked back and you can actually see her breast, even though...
Yeah, that winner was Alexandra Daddario in Baked in Brooklyn, where your breasts are so big and natural that from behind you could see side boob, which is pretty incredible.
So here's the one that I like best this year.
Okay.
Best rear burger.
Yes.
How can you possibly describe that? Radio friendly to our audience.
It's a little tougher on terrestrial radio, but I'll tell you that. Best rear burger, the winner this year, and I'm sure she's very, very excited, is Rosamund Pike.
Yes.
Who is a pretty famous British actress. She was in a James Bond movie, Die Another Day. You might remember her as Ben Affleck's wife in Gone Girl.
She's a solid actress.
Yeah, really good. And in this movie, Private War, she plays a war correspondent, Marie Colvin, and she's completely nude in front of the mirror, and Stanley Tucci's in a tub, and then she comes over and gets into the tub with Stanley Tucci, and let's just say we see Tucci and Cucci at the same time. It's
yes,
amazing.
Very good, yeah. Very good. Yeah. But yeah, from the rear as she's bent over, so that's the best rear burger.
And quite frankly, that's very rare and shocking, but it was something that we saw and we were like, oh boy, that's got to be an Anatomy Award. So.
Okay, how about the best gooper scooper? What's what exactly is that?
Okay, so, the winner is Josephine Decker in Room 104.
Uh-huh.
And it's an HBO show that airs Friday nights, and it was in season 2, episode 7, and this is an anthology series where it's all about what happens in this specific hotel room, Room 104. And in this scene, her and her husband were there to possibly have a baby, and he obviously wasn't all in on the baby thing, because during sex, when the big moment came, it didn't go in.
Okay.
So, she ended up kind of doing it herself, let's say, with her.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scooper. And it's a very graphic scene, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Again, something you guys probably missed, but you could watch
it. It's almost, though, Mr. Skin, it's almost a direct ripoff of a scene that I remember from Petticoat Junction.
All right, let's go to some more traditional categories, and then we can get back into the odd ones if you'd like as well. This is always a good one. Best underboob.
Yeah, I like this a lot because it's Ariel Winter, known as Alex Dumphy on Modern Family.
Yes.
And this was that movie, the last movie star with Burt Reynolds. It was kind of his swan song. He played a fading matinee idol.
Right.
And she's a young publicist. At the 41-minute mark, she's in bed with her boyfriend. She gets out of bed wearing a thong, and as she bends down to pick something up, she's wearing a half shirt. Ariel Winter showed amazing underboob. It's not technically a nude scene, but if you're a fan of underboob, this was the best one of the year.
It's wild because, you know, you remember throughout the years on Modern Family, and then there was that, she had surgery and so on and so forth, yeah. And blah, 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 but she's... Her Instagram has sort of become legendary for all her shots are very provocative.
Yep.
Well, I remember in the last couple of years when she started posting all these Instagram pictures. Like, I never thought of her on Modern Family. I thought of her as this little kid.
Yeah.
Smart-ass kid. And all of a sudden, you're seeing her Instagram pictures. Like, holy geez, she's grown up to be a beautiful woman, very curvy.
Yeah.
And boy, did she use Instagram to her advantage, and she's become one of the more popular Instagram pictures.
What did you guys choose at Mr. Skin for best TV show for nudity?
Well, the best TV show every year is something that, as you can imagine, in the last, 10 years, it's become a bigger deal because there's so many shows with nudity. We chose a Netflix sci-fi show called Altered Carbon. And if you haven't seen this, I'll summarize why it won. Season 1 had 22 nude scenes. And many of them were full frontal with beautiful actresses like Martha Higuerita, Daikin Lachman, who you see on our representation here, and then Kristen Lehman were just a few of the many great nude scenes. And there were other great shows, The Deuce and whatnot, but for us, pound for pound, Altered Carbon, which is based on a well-known book, the sci-fi series from Netflix, was the best.
Sure. I mean, it's funny because this year there were no new episodes of Westworld.
Or Game of Thrones.
Or Game of Thrones, but they certainly would always be contenders for that, correct?
Yeah, they always are, of course. And I'm kind of thinking that when that final episode of Game of Thrones comes out, we're going to have some great nudity. That'll be out in a couple months, so looking forward to that.
I think, obviously, to the foreign press and to a lot of people, they're interested in Best Butt Munch. Who won that this year?
Yeah, the Best Butt Munch is... from a movie called Duck Butter, and it's Alia Shawkat and Laya Costa. And Alia, you might know her as Maybe from Arrested Development, the television show.
Yeah.
And in this movie, which came out on April 20th, these two women meet in a club, and they make a pact that they're going to, for 24 hours, try to create intimacy by having sex at least once an hour. And it's pretty much a show of two women just having sex, including this scene at the 36-minute mark, which won our Best Butt Munch.
Now, is this sort of an unofficial sequel to the last Expendables movie?
yeah.
Same thing.
And this is, again, how many people actually saw Duck Butter, but what you got to see this scene because it's really cool.
Yeah, Duck Butter, who knew? Right. Who knew?
All right, well,
who knew? Who knew?
We got to wrap it up here in just a second, but I did want to get your take on Breast Picture, which is the one that that takes the big award this year.
Well, every year we do this as kind of a, it's our homage to what's a mainstream film.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mainstream now, not porn or anything, a mainstream film that had the best nudity. And this year I went with 50 Shades Freed, and I know guys make fun of it, and it's a suburban housewife movie, but there was tons of great nudity with Dakota Johnson, her and Jamie Dornan in this. And here's another thing to consider about this 50 Shades franchise. This was the third one. The three movies combined, starting in 2015 and into 2018, made over $1 billion. I mean, these people went to see these movies. I get it. There's a lot of suburban housewives, but what a great movie for nudity.
And, no, I mean,
the acting isn't great, but we don't really care about
it. I told you, when I saw the first one, I was familiar with all the controversy and stuff surrounding it. But I thought, you know, once you've seen full-blown, no pun intended, porn and stuff like that, it really wouldn't be something that interesting. They for as far as a mainstream film goes, they pushed it.
Yeah, for sure. It's very graphic. And it was, in our opinion, you know, it was mainstream film. 50 yeah. Shades Freed was our best picture.
Okay.
All right. And I do have another question, Mr. Skind. We saw that your Twitter account was suspended. Now, you can pretty much put all the porn you want on Twitter nowadays.
Oh, I didn't know that. Our Twitter account got suspended?
Marissa just let me know, yeah, that your account has been suspended. Nick, did you find that as well?
Yeah, there's a sort of a parody account, Mr. Skin, but not the actual one.
Look into that.
I had no idea. I'll have to look into that. I can't imagine what we would have...
Yeah, that's why I was
scratching my head. Wait a second, there's nudity on this.
All right, well, anyhow, that's something for you to go research, Mr. Skin.
And by the way, also remember for the ladies, there's the whoever
What's
else.
What's the
is
men's companion or the ladies' companion?
Yeah, MrManDoc.
Mr. Man.
We have our Manatomy Awards going on there, too, if you
so
want
there's,
to check
it's,
that
it's, out. It's 50-50 there.
And this stuff's all free, by the
all
way.
Free.
You can just...
Oh, yeah, it's all free at the front page of our website.
Excellent. All right, hey, great to talk to you, Mr. Skin. Have a great weekend, okay?
You got it, guys. Thanks.
All right, we'll see you later.
Yay! Mr. Skin.
And all that. Yeah, his account is suspended. So
the hell? What could you possibly... I always said that Twitter's basically the Wild West for this stuff.
Yep, exactly. All right, we want to thank our next guest for remaining patient while we went through chatting with Mr. Skin. But he's back in town. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club. He's a friend of the show. Please welcome Rich Voss.
Yay!
Thank you. I mean, it was all those naked pictures on the screen here.
Yeah.
Your audience, look how many quarters they're going to save.
they don't have to go to the quarter booths
yes,
today.
No,
yeah.
Just,
it's all good.
How's it going? Last time I saw you guys was during the food drive,
yeah,
and that was so much fun.
Yeah, we love that you do that, man. It's so cool.
You had a great set, man.
Thank you.
You know what? I've seen you before, but I was really enjoying your set that night.
Oh, thanks. But the audience was so pumped. And where you guys did it this year compared to the other time I did it was such a better room.
Oh, cool. Good.
You know, it just set up better.
Yep.
The audience was great. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
And all the comics on the show, you know, I mean, DeRosa and Katz and Attell. I mean, just, it was so much fun.
It means a lot, too, that you guys do that and take time out of the schedule because it's very cool. And it was, everyone was raving about it. So, but it's good to see you back, man.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And yesterday I celebrated 33 years sober.
Wow.
Thank you. And life is great.
Yeah.
Casey just celebrated 7 the other day.
Yep.
Yeah, he told me. 7, that's great.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a good start.
What do you mean it's a good start? 30 days is a good start.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, a week is a good start.
We were talking to you about, I think one of the times we had you, we talked about, you know, and you've been, you've always been very candid with, I mean, there's some wild stories in your arsenal of you know, how bad it had gotten for you. And then when you hear those, juxtaposed to seeing you coming around the way you have in life, and then you look at like poor Artie Lang, who's fighting this demon. Such a great, talented guy, just keeps getting him.
Some people, you know, they just say some people are sicker than others, and you know, you never know. Something might turn around. Something this time might, you know.
It's hope springs eternal.
You know, whatever that is, you say, I agree.
Yeah.
You know, I'm. I don't follow Nietzsche's.
You're not big into Nietzsche.
But no, I shot an hour special at a 12-step convention, which has never been done before.
Wow.
Like, it was, it's a big, they have conventions all over the country.
Yeah.
You know, different fellowships. And the first time they ever let cameras in, I shot we don't show the audience at all.
No.
You know, I call it anonymous. But it's amazing how great the audience. It's amazing the fact that you're up there and they appreciate everything. And, you know, you don't have anybody, you know, no drunks in the audience out of control. I'm not saying most clubs don't.
Yeah. Let me ask you, when you were doing, when you were first starting out, I'm just trying to figure out if you were in your active addiction when you were first starting out.
The first couple of years I was partying and, you know, I mean, but... I mean, I stunk. I stunk as a comic, you know, 2 months ago. I'm finally getting here. But, I was doing it. We were partying and, you know, just
it sort of lent itself to that, did it not? It sort of lent itself to that.
Well, yeah, but I was at a different level. Like, you know, people were drinking and I guess doing coke. But, you know, if I saw somebody doing coke, I'd go, you're doing it the wrong way. You're wasting it. It's like reading a book backwards. What's wrong with you? Get with the program. But, you know, and I was a creep. And I talked about this in my special. I used to go to garage sales. I don't know if I ever told this story here. And I used to go buy, like, golf clubs, like a set of old $5 golf clubs. You see it in every garage sale, like old Wilsons or rusty golf clubs, whatever. And I'd buy a set for $5. Then I'd go to the drug dealer in town. I'd go, look, give me this much on credit, and I'll leave my clubs as collateral.
Oh, my God. Right.
Do you know how many drug dealers in my hometown got crappy golf clubs? All over town, I was dropping off golf clubs.
Wow. You know, it's funny, though, Rich. You always think, man, so you see these creative things that, you know, you see these guys who do these things, and these criminals are breaking, and they have this incredibly inventive way. It's like, if that attention could be turned to something creative...
Yeah.
You know, but you're not in that mindset to be able to think that way.
Well, when you're an actor. But, that's one thing I love about comedy, being a comedian. Like, you know, you have club owners and managers and agents and this and that. And whether you get along with them or don't, or they're positive or negative, the one thing no one can take away from you is your creativity.
Right.
You know, you always have that, whether you're a working comic, a non, you know what I mean? And that's the great thing is when you can keep creating.
Sure. I watched Ray Romano's Netflix special last
night. Sorry. No, I'm only kidding.
No. It was his first one in 30-plus years, and he did it at the Comedy Cellar, and then he went around the corner and did it at another
Underground.
Underground, yeah. And but it was interesting to me because it was funny, and I enjoyed it, but he was very concerned about the quality of the crowd. And he mentioned that a few times, and he was worried that it was going to be an unreceptive crowd or a bad crowd or a bored crowd.
Yeah.
Do you encounter that in clubs? Do you worry about what the quality of the crowd's going to be like?
No, because I know what I do. I do pretty good. I do well. So I'm different. You know, I'm going to 99 out of 100 times I'm going to get the crowd. I know how to play to them.
Yeah.
And I'm not bragging. It's just I'm doing it for so long. You know, a great pitcher knows when to throw a curveball. You know, good comics know when to do an audible if you have to do an audible.
Yeah.
You know,
a good car player knows when to hold them and knows when to fold them.
Yeah. You know, and a good co-host knows when to not cut in when you're I didn't see him talking during Mr. Skin's act. All right. Boy, there's some riveting.
No, but it's true because there are some comics who are very every utterance, every pause is completely precise, and they get in a room with an audience that doesn't mean they're bad at all.
Not
it just means they get in a room with the crowd that's a little bit unruly, and they're thrown off. But you're a classic club comedian who knows how to handle most situations.
And I like to work in a moment. Listen, I went and watched Colin's one-man show the other night.
Yeah.
Red State, Blue State. He's brilliant.
He is.
It's just watching somebody. And I text my wife, and I go, I just saw Colin. I go, it was so good. I want to quit comedy. And she said, well, at least something good came out of it. Right? Like, you know. And
we love your wife, by the way. She's awesome,
You watch all different styles, and I'm watching Colin, and I'm going, this is just brilliant. I saw some of Ray's stuff. It was funny. And Ray, you know, it's tough when you're doing that much TV to stay on top of comedy.
Yeah.
You know, and Ray's
it's very different.
Ray's always been funny, though. That's why he was on TV, because he was so funny in the beginning. You know what I mean?
And you spoke about the creativity, and nobody will ever take that creativity away from Ray Romano. He knows how to write a joke, and he knows how to be a comedian.
Yeah, he's always done stand-up, even through, but you don't get to do it as much. You know, I've had such a horrible career where I didn't do TV that I got to do stand-up.
So you benefited from a horrible career.
I benefited going on the road and working, you know, these trailer parks and, you know, and seeing what America's about.
Exactly. You have a better understanding.
I don't get to, you know, sit in my lush place in Beverly Hills, you know. If I sleep in my car, it's a nice car. I do what I got. So I get to, you know. But, and another thing, too, I got to hang out throughout my career, my friends are some of the best comics.
Yeah.
You know, Norton and Bobby Kelly and Florentine and Billy Burr, Kevin Hart. We all hung out. Patrice. So you when you're hanging out with such great comics, you know, it lifts your game.
Well, the evidence, I've sung its praises a number of times, that your roast, I was howling at that. And you were surrounded by legitimate friends who know you, and they just ripped you apart as you're supposed to do at a roast. Uh-huh. And you gave back as good as they gave you. And it was great. But that is a rare cluster of friends that you have. And, you know, there's some up and comers, but no names coming to mind, you know.
Well, you must be talking about the one at VossRoast.com. I'm not, yeah, that
yeah,
roast.
Yeah.
VossRoast.com.
Oh, right. $10 if you want to purchase it.
Yeah, buy it down. But listen, when Kevin started, he hung with us. You know, he came up from Philly with Keith Robinson.
Yeah.
And he hung with, you know, me, Patrice, and you know, Kevin. We'd go play basketball at night and stuff. And he's doing okay now.
Oh, he's doing
Kevin,
great. Yeah.
He's doing all right, you know.
He played the link.
Ugh, he stinks. All right, enough with him. I can't wait till he gets a little older. Nobody wants to see an old little man. Nobody. We're done with you, Kevin. Stop, all right? Take your money and head to an island. We're done with you. Enough already with him.
Yeah,
sick of him. He's dumb commercials now.
Hey, let me ask you.
Kevin, learn how to say no. What?
Were you not a gag writer for one of the Oscar presentations?
I've worked on two Oscars.
Okay.
I've written on two. But
what's that like? Because it's this Sunday.
Yeah.
The awards.
I know. They asked me to host, but I said, sorry. It was great. This is what a zero I am. I'm at backstage at the Oscars. I don't know. I tell these stories, so I don't know if I told it here. I don't think I told this here. I'm backstage at the Oscars. So Dustin Hoffman is standing talking to Barbara Streisand.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
So I walk over. I did a show. I had four lines on a show years ago called American Dreams. It was about American Bandstand.
In the 60s. Yeah. Britney Snow was the, I remember,
And I played Lenny Bruce. I did four. You can look up. I walk over. I have my back to Barbara Streisand, and I say to Dustin Hoffman, I also played Lenny. I compared my four lines to his Oscar-nominating performance, and you wonder why nothing's going on in my life.
Yeah.
And I walked away, and I go, I hate myself. Why would I say something like that? But you don't know what to say.
No!
Like, there's certain people. Like, I did a function, and Bon Jovi was there.
Yeah.
I'm not a big Bon Jovi had some of this stuff, but I'm looking at him and he's walking around and it's like there's like angels following him. And I'm staring at him. I can't stop staring. I'm like a stalker throughout the day.
Yep.
Some people are that magnetic or something, you know what I mean? And you stand next to Dustin Hoffman. What am I going to say to Dustin Hoffman?
But
hey, you know what we have in common? And he's thinking nothing.
We both played Lenny Bruce.
I played Lenny too.
But that's the big tariff.
Been there. Oh,
I
man.
Play, yeah.
We have a friend who met a band, and she still, to this day, when I see her, because I only see her a couple of times a year, I go, thanks for the music. Because that, like, she said that to Better Than Ezra, and she was like, oh, my God, thanks for the music?
Why not? I was thinking about this the other day, because one time at the Red Hot Chili Peppers were playing a show. I was on the side of the stage. Chad Smith came over, started. I went over and initiated a conversation with him. And it led down the path of me talking about something that was really boring him, and he wanted to get away.
Right,
I could
tell
that, and I let him. And I was thinking about this yesterday. I'm like, you know what? I didn't have to talk to him.
No.
I only talked to him because I wanted to talk to him. And it wasn't because he needed someone to talk to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I was there to help him with something or offer something up that he may have needed at the time, that would have made sense.
Chad,
but I'm only doing this just
for you.
Me.
Yeah.
So I think you would stop doing that.
Yes.
You know?
You put yourself in the scenario.
Because you're going to end up with it. You have nothing in common.
It's so self-centered and narcissistic. Yeah. Yeah. You might as well just run for president. When I first met Bonnie, she was doing, you know, Bonnie was in L.A. doing, you know, alternative rooms.
Sure,
mostly. Some, you know, and she was, and my audience back then were animals. I hate them. I hate them. You know, why can't I get Brian Regan's audience? But anyhow.
Right.
So she's doing shows with me, and it's tough. She's having, well, finally we're in a club in Cincinnati, and she has a great set, right, after doing these animal rooms. And at the end of the set, she raises her hand and yells, "Good night, Cincinnati." Like she's working a stadium. Right? Yeah. And from now on, "Good night, Cincinnati." Shut up. It was 200 people.
The entire city.
That's what you say right before you go to bed, George.
Yeah. Good night, Cincinnati. Good night, Cincinnati. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh my Thank God. You, Ground Round.
The Christmas party at Gotham, and there's a long hallway.
Yeah.
And she threw somebody a kiss as she was leaving, like a friend.
Yeah.
I go, "Are you running for mayor? What is wrong with you?"
Hey, if you're just jumping in, it's Rich Voss who is in our studio. He's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight, tomorrow. There are two shows each night. Rich, we have a caller on the line. We're going to go to as a guest real quick. So we're going to chat with you some more. But he's promoting the movie Toy Story 4. Which is coming out in June.
Yeah.
Ways off, but I'm glad we're talking to him now. He's been in every single Pixar movie made. He's the good luck charm.
He is.
And, of course, in Toy Story, the series, he plays Ham. Most recently, I guess, we heard him as the return of the Underminer.
Yes.
And Incredibles 2. So please welcome John Ratzenberger to the show. Hey, John.
Hey. So what is it? Is it Pat or Geno's?
Oh, man.
The perennial question.
You pretty much got to do both. I mean, they're right across the street from each other. Have you ever had either one of those, John?
Oh, I've had both of them. I did a cross-country motorcycle charity run once from New York to Vegas. And the first stop was right there. It was Pat's.
Yeah.
It was run by a guy named Pony Joe. And he was a Harley rider, so he joined in on the ride for a little bit.
It's an incendiary topic, it really is, because then you got to go with there's also Geno's and D'Alessandro's and there's
Jim's
and everybody's Chubbies. Got there, yeah, and it's sort of like a Rorschach test of what your personality's like, what sandwich you favor.
Next time you come to town, we'll hit the other joints. All right, John, we'll take you around.
Well, personally, see, I make the best Philly cheesesteak sandwich.
You do?
Yeah, I do. And also, I make a great Italian sausage sub. My kids are always requesting that.
So you have some culinary chops?
Oh, geez, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was a latchkey, coming home. My mother worked in a factory. My dad drove a truck, so coming home from school, it was just me and my sister.
Right.
And here you are, 6, 7 years old, cooking for yourself.
Wow.
So, I remember I put bacon on everything, and my favorite, my piece de resistance was peanut butter and bacon sandwich on an English muffin.
That sounds pretty good. I think, honestly, when you can let your kids play with the oven, that's just the best.
Well, you need to send us your recipe, John.
Well, that's just it. Peanut butter and bacon on an English muffin.
No, I meant for your cheesesteak sandwich.
That's the recipe. That's it. The recipe is in the name of the sandwich.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, John, your publicists are going to kill us if we don't talk about the movie. So I would love to keep going on about bacon and peanut butter because it does sound quite good.
Well, the movie's not until June. We got plenty of time. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, John. Is this a nail biter, or are you hoping it does well?
Just say that again.
Toy Story. At this point, it's a given. Everyone loves the series, and as you return to, and we talk about, we've had a lot of the Pixar people in, the people, the creators, the writers, everybody behind it. It's such a long process for them. It takes place over years and years, sometimes 3-4 years. When you go in and do your stuff, are you basically in and out in a day or two, or how long is the process for you?
Yeah, but it depends on how big the role is, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's usually a day, under a day for me. Because what I'll do is I'll go and I'll give them 5 different readings of the same line, and which makes the process go a lot faster. Usually when you do these things, the actor will say the line, and then the director and the producers will talk about it, and then they'll come back and say, okay, try it this way or try it that way.
Right.
What I do is I just give them 5 different readings of the same line, and they go, okay, good. Yeah, number 3, that's a good one. Okay, let's move on. And it just moves the process along a lot faster.
Hey, do you, from time to time, you've done so many of these films, do people come up to you and they go, hey, you know, we were in the same movie together,
yeah,
and you didn't even realize it all these years later?
Well, I was thinking about that the other day, of all the, I mean, the real stars that I've worked with, you know, Tom Hanks, you know, Tim Allen, certainly, but then, you know, the last one was Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
And just a real good, I mean, solid actors. So, you know, if I was impressionable, I'd be very impressed with myself.
Well, John, this is the fourth movie, and I checked the IMDb, and it's posthumous, but you did get to work again, at least through this movie, with Don Rickles. Did you ever get to spend any time with Rickles?
As a matter of fact, I would tell them to book my session either directly before or after Don Rickles.
Wow.
Because then I know I could spend some time with him between the sessions. And, you know, listening to his Frank Sinatra stories and his stories about that era, you know, the golden age of Hollywood. What a great guy he was, boy. I really miss him. Real, real good fella.
I wanted to ask you, because you did a whole bunch of, you know, smaller roles and extra work, and you were in the original, well, not the original, but the Christopher Reeve Superman. And on that set, that's, you know, you had, you know, Brando. I remember they're making a big thing about what, like, Valerie Perrine and Gene Hackman, all these people were making. Was that experience mind-boggling, because it was an epic, or what was your takeaway from your time on that film?
Oh, then I could buy food.
You could buy food.
At the time, I was living in an abandoned building.
You were living
in an abandoned building.
So you didn't have the same contract Brando had.
No. See, I had gone to London. See, I was a carpenter before I became an actor.
Right.
And I went to London to visit for a week. I ended up staying 10 years. So that's how I got to do all these movies. I was about the right height, weight, age,
right,
to be in a uniform with all these American movies. And I worked, believe it or not, I worked with James Cagney.
Wow.
Pat O'Brien. Yeah.
Was that on Ragtime?
That's right.
Wow.
And then another actor that I'm sure that none of you there go, Melvin Douglas.
I do remember Melvin Douglas. Yeah. So that's wild.
Big time leading man. I worked with him on Twilight's Last Gleaming. Him and Burt Lancaster.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So I, you know, going back and looking, only I worked with Ken Russell, and I became good friends with Richard Attenborough, John Schlesinger, because again, I was new to all this. I never went to acting school.
So you were.
So I didn't know.
You're over in England, and because there's a couple of actors that you see pop up in a lot of James Bond movies and Kubrick movies who are American, who you know,
right,
you'd see them time and time again, and so it was a sort of a similar situation for you.
Well, there was a group of us. There's probably 12 or 15 of us living over there. One guy that you see all the time is Shane Rimmer. Another guy was Bill Hootkins. And, you know, I was within that group. So it was a go-to group for any time an American film was made.
Yeah.
Somebody in that group was in that movie. Yeah.
Wow.
I could relate to, this is Rich Voss. I played Lenny Bruce on on American, and I never took an acting lesson. So me and Dustin were talking back at the Oscars about it, and I can relate to a lot of what you're saying. And
there you go.
Yeah, Rich was writing lines during the Oscars, and so he figured, I don't know if you heard the story, John, he approached Dustin Hoffman and tried to strike up a conversation because he had 4 lines as Lenny Bruce
in a made-for-TV series
and wanted to say that he played Lenny Bruce as well. It didn't go well.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Well, listen, we're delighted that that another movie has come out from the Toy Story franchise, because it's just so beloved. You can't go wrong with it. And not till June 21st, so we got some time. Come on in. We'll try your sandwich. We'll go pick up some extra sandwiches, John. And I'm intrigued by peanut butter and bacon now that we've had you on the program.
You got to try it.
All right. We will. Done deal. Thanks for coming on. John Ratzenberger. Yeah. Take care. Ham. Toy Story 4, which is coming out on June 21st.
Do you know how good Toy Story 3 was? Did you
see that?
Loved it. How it was great.
The last 10 minutes will kill you.
Your eyes out, endearing. And I don't know how they're going to pick it up from there.
Well, we're talking about the fact
that... I was going to ask him, but he was talking about bacon and peanut butter.
The fact that they spend that much time with them... Like, they've done movies where they've been halfway through and they said, you know what? It'll play better this way.
Yeah.
And then just change it. That's why they keep refining it. That's why you end up with something as good as Toy Story and Toy Story 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm. It was great. It was great.
Have you ever done any animated stuff?
No. No. What? No. And you would think, with my horrible slobber and lisp, I could at least play the little bird, you know, get him, Chopper. You know, if they ever made a movie like, hey, Chopper, you know, at least I could do that.
Yeah, you'd be great, yeah.
Great character voice. Absolutely.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a big actor. I've done a lot of stuff.
You played Lenny Bruce.
I've done a lot of one thing. No, we're making another movie, my wife and I.
Oh, all right. Another last documentary she did was great.
Thank you. But, you know, you look at this guy and you're going, he's been in a million things.
Yeah.
You know, you see some actors and they just, their careers, but they're making a great living. They've been, you know what I mean?
That's the job. That's the role to have.
They're not headliners. They're not, you know, they don't lead the marquee, but they just keep working.
They keep working and they're in everything. I'm watching a series now. It's an older series. It's on Amazon, The Killing. And there's so many actors in it.
Yeah.
I've heard about it. Is it good?
It's great. I'm on the second season. It's great. But I thought when the first season was over, it was going to be wrapped up. And then it goes into the second season. So now I'm at 25 episodes in already.
Yeah.
You know, and I binge watch something. I can't stop.
Yeah.
You know, and I pray that they wrap up this case. I will watch the third season, but I would like them to wrap this one up. I'm just saying.
Enough.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what you mean.
I like when a show has a definitive end.
Yeah.
When they keep going on and on, no matter how good the show, I just disconnect after a while.
I mean, Ozark, you know what's going to come up.
Yeah.
But it ended the way, but you know his wife now is going to be some, you know, diabolical, you know, and that's a big word for me. that I even got that out without flooding the room.
Did you see The Bodyguard? Or Bodyguard, it was
on Netflix.
On Netflix.
Oh, I don't know if I
saw it. It's only six episodes. It has a beginning and end.
And definitive. It's great.
And it's really, really good.
Oh, somebody mentioned that to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
Those ones out of Luther out of England was great.
Yes, with Idris Elba.
He used to be the nighttime manager at Caroline's.
Are you kidding?
I done 50 shows with him. He was the nighttime manager at Caroline's.
Was he a good dude?
The nicest guy in the world.
Wow.
The nicest guy. And I don't know if you ever saw that picture of him with his, you know, down at the bottom. Wow. Can you imagine being that famous and also that... I mean, everything's going for you. Everything. That's the confidence he has.
I hate to tell you this, he played Lenny Bruce.
And also another guy that worked Caroline's was from Sopranos. But you remember the character that hung himself in the garage at the end?
Who was that?
Bobby Cheech is his real name, something. But he was a character on there.
Was he the gay mobster?
No. I don't know, but he also was like a manager.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, they all.
How come you didn't end up on the Sopranos all the time?
Because I was never a manager. I was always. I auditioned like a couple times.
Yeah.
And they kept calling me back. I was getting close. And the last time I went in, and I'm not a great, you know, I wasn't used to going on these auditions. So I go in, I was the first in that morning to read.
Yeah.
And at the time I wasn't good enough. But the person the casting director who I was reading with started doing my lines.
What?
I don't know why.
Yeah.
And it threw me off. I didn't know how to get out of that. I didn't even know how to say, hey, can we do this again? And maybe I do my lines and you do your. I'm not, you know, then I was just some nervous kid. You know, now I would say, hey, it just threw me off. And it was, but one time, I'll tell you a great story real quick. I came back from Aspen Festival. I had all this heat.
Right.
But that's when my anxiety was so bad. I was around four. I had bad anxiety. I've had it my whole life, but then it was. So my agent I'm supposed to go in and read for Fox. I go, I can't do this today. I just can't do it. She goes, you'll be fine. And I'm not, you know, auditions are very uncomfortable to begin with. So I'm in there. You could see the sides of my hands. They're
shaking,
you know,
yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, just for me. They called my manager and said, we can never see him again.
Oh, my God. Wow. What was it for? Do you remember? A series
know.
Or
who knows? Who cares?
The Lenny Bruce?
Huh?
Why would your manager tell you that?
Because it made me laugh. Are you kidding me? It's funny. We could never see him. At least they remember me. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If they ever need somebody that we can never see again, I'm it's the first you. One they're going to call.
It's like that La La Land sequence, you know, where they show them going up on the auditions.
Yeah,
it's got to be excruciating, man.
No, but I mean, I've gotten stuff since then. I've done stuff, but I'm more comfortable. But auditions are like when you're on a set, it's easy because you have a director, you have a couple takes, do this, do that. You know, I just did a movie, so and the director was great. It was so easy. It was my wife, but you know, she's making besides our sequel, she's making another movie.
Oh, that's awesome.
So when you're on a set, it's different than going into just a room and reading with somebody who's done this all day long.
Yep, right.
You know,
right,
you
right.
can't connect with them.
Yeah, and they're already sick of it.
You know,
they usually don't give you much to go on either. You just gotta wing it. Yeah, I've done them before. I hate them.
It's horrible. Yeah, it's not realistic.
Yeah. No, what is real? Rich on stage. Because
yes.
That's where he's most comfortable. And not only are you going to be helium tonight, tomorrow, but you're back in 2 weeks. You're going to be at the Keswick. Florentine's going to be in town?
That show is going to be, it's myself, Florentine, Bennington, and Bobby Kelly.
Nice. That's awesome. That's tomorrow a great
night,
lineup.
Tomorrow night early show is sold out, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So two shows tonight and then one tomorrow, the 10 o'clock show. Yeah. We got to wrap it up. I'm sorry,
Thank
Rich.
Thank you for having me. What do you mean? This was
anytime,
great.
Anytime. We love having
so
you.
So much fun.
Heliumcomedy.com to get your tickets. Do yourself a favor. Go see Rich Voss at Helium.
Yes.
Thanks. Bud. Thank you. Rich Voss.
Yeah.
We got a break.
Lenny
we'll
Bruce.
In a moment. Stay right there.
Preston and Steve. On 93.3 WMMR. 93.3 WMMR.
MMR rocks Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019. Presented by Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum.
A gigantic 18-foot tall R2-D2 is coming down.
The giant hoagie has come down. There have to be 20 people inside that thing.
Join the party Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first.
This is like Mummers on Acid.
Mummers on Acid on snow.
It's a spectacle on snow where everyone has a blast. Amazing cardboard creations, thrilling runs, and epic fails. Be a part of the gallery up and down the tubing hill.
There are people falling on top of each other.
Complete pandemonium.
Hit the slopes on the cheap with the MMR VIP lift ticket special. Just $20 available until noon on February 27th or while supplies last. Details at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019 at Jack Frost Mountain.
Presented by Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum. Live like a captain. Join the group and sponsored by Sprint and JP Mascaro and Sons.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
I wanted to mention that we have a guest on next week, a couple of guests, but there's a screening of this film that they're going to be promoting next week that's going on this weekend. The movie is called Arctic.
Yeah.
And there's local ties to this, right, Nick?
Yes, sir.
So the producers are going to be on board for a Q&A. And next week, we're going to have not only the producers, but we're going to have a star of the film, Mads Mikkelsen, on the show.
Love him. In studio?
No, he is going to be on the phone. They are going to be in the studio.
Well, we have the phone in the studio.
The
that
phone
he's on.
Will be in the studio.
Okay.
We'll run on the air.
He's in London, unfortunately, Steve.
But we will glue his picture to the receiver.
Right. But Mads is great. He was in Casino Royale. He's the main nemesis in that.
Yeah. Rogue
in,
One.
Rogue One, you're right. Yeah. Correct. I loved him in Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Yes.
I love the great line. Mr. He goes, Doctor. Mr. Doctor. it's great. But he's a really cool actor. And so there's a screening of this movie, Arctic, a couple of times over the weekend. Tonight at 7 o'clock at the Ritz 5. And then again on Saturday, there's two. There's a 4:45 and then a 7 p.m. screening at the Ritz 5. And, producers Aaron Scotty and Chris Lamoli, which I hope I'm getting the names correct.
Lamoli.
Aaron
just texted me.
And okay. His middle name is Holy.
Aaron's from Conchi.
Yeah, man.
Which what? Is cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's big, grew up listening to the Preston and Steve show. These guys met each other in Los Angeles. They both grew up in Philadelphia, didn't know each other here.
If I'm reading you right, this is basically the story of our show, this movie.
I love it when, because the Preston and Steve show has been on in Philadelphia for 20 years. So these guys grew up in this area listening to MMR, listening to the Preston and Steve show, and then went out and did their own careers. And now they're having some success.
Couldn't give us a part in the movie, though, huh?
Couldn't give us a, well, Casey, I got good news for you. Yeah. This is just the first of the movies in the series. So he's got, they have a comedy coming out with Charlie Day later this year. So these guys are up and comers in the industry, and it'll be neat to have them in studio. So they'll be in next week, and then Mads is going to be on the phone.
There's also, with the movie.
There's a Mads movie on Netflix that I think you guys would enjoy, because I think it's based on a graphic comic book, and it's called Polar. So if you guys want to do that, watch that movie, and then we can talk
about it. Mads Mikkelsen is in that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he plays like a retired assassin.
He's now only playing movies that have cold things in the title.
Right. Well,
cold,
so Nick things. And I had
Ice Cream is the next movie.
Yeah, Casey was like, he's in Polar. And I was like, no, it's Arctic.
I go, no, it's Polar.
Yeah. Two very different movies, or at least two different movies.
Mads Mikkelsen in Water Ice.
Water Ice.
Pudding Pops.
Water Ice.
Regular pudding was just the beginning.
Cross.
I don't like pudding pops. Man, they're like cold pudding. You like regular pudding. But then a young therapist named Kathy Romano turned him on to the joys of cold pudding on a stick. I like it.
The possibilities are endless.
It's absolutely. Endless. I mean, when all you do is cold-based movies.
Yeah, there's a lot of material.
It's like a Liam Neeson's Mr. Plow movie.
Yeah.
In promotion of this movie, can I bring up an event where I wanted to beat people up simply for their race? Could you not?
Yeah, please don't.
Could you not do that, dummy?
So, anyhow, these guys are going to be in the studio next week, but the screenings are tonight at 7 at the Ritz 5, and then tomorrow 4:45 and 7 at the Ritz 5.
I like pudding pops.
And you can do a little Q&A action with them. Okay, all right, enough.
No?
Right.
Okay, is that it?
All right, yeah. We got to do the bizarre file. Here we go, pudding.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Jack Frost Big Boulder Ski Area. Mark your calendar for the President Steve Cardboard Classic. Friday, March 1st. That's 1 week from today, friends. At Jack Frost, you can go to WMMR.com to grab lift tickets for just $20 through February 27th. Authorities say an Oklahoma man stole a Pepsi truck as the driver was unloading soda in the back. Tulsa police say that no one was hurt. The driver jumped out of the back when he felt his rig move, and a trail of soda spilled out as the truck drove off. Now, police say that Stephen Hart told them that he was just trying to get to the airport after an argument with his girlfriend.
Well, that makes sense.
So that's why he stole the soda truck.
Isn't there a special provision in the law that if you're in an argument, you can steal any vehicle you want?
You can commandeer it, yes.
Yeah. Is there any reason that you could, steal a car? Is there any reason
You get some if you were taking someone who was injured perhaps to the hospital,
right.
Perhaps the court would see clear of that. But I don't think there's any law that allows you to commandeer vehicles at your whim.
Like, I was literally being chased by a homicidal maniac. There was a car that was running.
Then I think you might have a case.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. It's still, you'd still have to explain it.
Okay. The girlfriend says...
Back to you, Preston.
The girlfriend says he was searching for her. Police say that when they caught up with...
there was a homicidal maniac coming after me. That's why I stole a soda truck.
I better not steal this truck. Although, maybe the homicidal maniac will kill me, so maybe I should. But then I'll get in trouble with the law.
If you overthink it, though, you're dead.
Yeah.
You're there with a knife in your head in front of a Pepsi truck.
So, anyhow, police say that when they caught up to the truck, stopped in traffic, Hart jumped out and started to run off. And he was arrested as the rig rolled into the back of a school bus. No children were on board and nobody was hurt. But he felt it was a good idea to steal a Pepsi truck so he could go to the airport. A man was charged with assault after police say he hit a man with a porcelain watermelon topped with a chicken in December.
You don't do that to people.
It's pretty much the only reason I brought up this story in the first place. Brooks Michael Driver, who is homeless, hit the victim with the porcelain watermelon topped with a chicken.
See this watermelon and the chicken on it? I'm going to crack it on your face.
It's like Billy Jack.
The assault.
I'm going to put this watermelon with this chicken on the left side of your face, and there's nothing you can do about it.
The assault cut the victim in the face and caused heavy bruising. Driver was arrested and held on $5,000 bond.
Watermelon chicken fighter.
Okay, so this is a visual thing. I'm going to show a picture to you guys here in the studio.
All right.
But this is how you do vandalism. A University of Nebraska Lincoln professor was cited for vandalizing political signs. Patricia Hill was cited for vandalizing U.S. Senator Deb Fischer's office and U.S. Representative Jeff Fortenberry's signs. Police say they investigated the three instances of vandalism. Two political signs and a glass office door were vandalized. First, she changed the name Jeff Fortenberry to Jeff Fartenberry, and she put gritty, like, googly eyes on the face of the politician.
Now, again, there's a bit of artistry involved in this, and I think maybe he himself laughed at that.
That's pretty funny. The Lincoln Police Department Forensics Unit analyzed the signs and stickers left behind and found Hill's fingerprints at all three scenes. The eyeballs are gigantic, and they're out of whack. The pupils are all over the place. It's pretty damn funny. The investigation isn't over yet. Last spring, she was fined $94 for spraying fake blood on the home of the NRA lobbyist in Virginia. So she does this type of thing.
I'm going to call her, though, on this. The one misstep was the lettering on the word odor after strong. Because it's a strong family, strong communities, and strong odor.
Yeah.
She could have made that a little bit better, but the Fartenberry came out well.
I like it. Two Virginia dentists Virginia Beach dentists have been forced to close up shop after the VA Board of Dentistry suspended the license to legally do dental work. Now, Dr. Gary Hartman is accused of having prescribed more than 46,000 hydrocodone pills, more than 20,000 soma pills, and nearly 8,000 oxycodone pills.
That seems reasonable.
As well as Vicodin, tramadol, sleeping pills, and anxiety medications to patients who had either not been seen or did not need the excessive amount they were prescribed. But listen to how he set this up. The prescriptions themselves were not the alarming part for the DEA, the agency investigating the claims misuse. It was the number of pills written to people who agents report did not have appointments or ailments to fit the medication prescribed. The DEA found that Hartman exchanged dental work for patients willing to be drug mules.
So he would do free dentistry on them if they would transport his stuff.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Patients told the DEA in interviews that Hartman would fix their teeth or treat them without insurance, but in exchange, they would have to fill a prescription that he wrote and hand off the pills.
I was always embarrassed by my smile until I became a drug mule.
Hartman was eventually drug tested by the DEA and tested positive for opioids and amphetamines himself. So he was a drug addict, too. Oh, wow.
I got an idea. How'd you like to have some better choppers?
And he was busted. All right, and then we'll wrap it up with this last story. How about this, man? Terrifying moments in Utah were caught on camera after an avalanche buried a backcountry skier over the weekend. The group had gone off a jump in the canyon earlier last week and earlier that day. But when one of the skiers fell and he went off again, it triggered a slide. The skier who was caught in the slide didn't want to be identified, but the two friends he was with were sharing their story. A guy named Colvin Stevenson said, "All of a sudden, I see the avalanche, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's a slide." Stevenson watched helplessly at the bottom of the avalanche as tons of snow carried his friend down the mountain. He let go of his poles, he said, and he was swimming through the avalanche to keep his head up. Oh. The avalanche carried the skier 200 feet through trees and rocks until finally burying him completely. He said, "Right as the slide comes to a stop, I'm skiing over there, full panic, adrenaline through the roof, just wanting to save my friend." He said his friend was trapped under the cement-like snow. Seconds later, a guy named John Brown, who was watching from the top, made it down. He said it was scary. I didn't know what to think. Both skiers were looking for any sign of their friend. Finally, they spotted the top. They saw a ski tip.
Dear God.
And he said, "When I hit his leg the first time, he started screaming. It was very frantic. We were just going to dig until his head was free and he could breathe." Brown said he was digging with all his might and hit his friend's helmet with his shovel. Said, "We dug his head out, and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry I hit you in the head." And he's like, "That was the best feeling of my life, the shovel hitting my head." Luckily, ending what could have been a deadly slide. But they dug him out, man. That's
there was some footage I just saw recently. They had a camera fixed to a tree in an avalanche zone, and an avalanche occurred. And you see the movies, but oh my God,
the power is amazing that has. Yes. So it's deadly, obviously. And that's what I have in the bizarre file for you. I also have some turkey bacon.
Turkey bacon.
I like to give away two six-packs of coupons good for six full-size packages of Gottschall's Turkey Bacon. We'll take callers 10 and 11 at 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget that Gottschall's is locally made right here in Pennsylvania. Facilities powered by solar panels with a water recycling program that boasts zero landfill status. It is good for you and for the planet. 215-263-WMMR. 10 and 11. You get them. We'll be back in just a moment.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Skydiving. This is a...
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Disturb. Are you ready? Think I'm ready for you to be strong. Ghost. Wanna be with you. The Glorious Sons.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3.
No, it's not Tuesday. We only do Secret Sounders on Tuesday.
But I have to do that.
Boulevard of Broken Dreams on 93.3 WMMR. Everything to rocks. Hey, it's about 10:27. It's Friday morning, and we haven't even gotten to music news yet.
Wow. What the hell is going on?
Listen, we had like five people on the show, different guests.
All engaging.
So we had to take the time to chat with everybody. And
even guests we weren't expecting much from delivered today.
Yeah, we did. So, anyhow, I'm going to do today's lesson question right now, and we are going to give away a pair of tickets to see Villanova and Butler. They're going to play Saturday the 2nd at the Wells Fargo Center. Question that I have for you this morning is, what is always mentioned in Frankenstein's Entertainment Report? That's from early this morning. You had to have been listening because you won't get it otherwise. What is always mentioned in Frankenstein's Entertainment Report? 215-263-WMMR. If you know the answer, please give us a call. We want to set you up with a prize. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And what stories do you have for us today, Mr. Morrison?
Well, Khloe Kardashian saying Tristan Thompson cheating on her with her friend Jordan Woods might have been a blessing in disguise. Khloe says splitting with Thompson triggered her protective mama bear mode because she actually is a mama bear.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Jussie Smollett apparently used a check to pay the brothers who allegedly carried out the hoax attack on him. The brazen Smollett even went further, presenting them with T-shirts that read, "We committed a racist hoax, and all we got were these T-shirts."
Yeah.
And finally, Courtney Cox revealing a terrifying trip aboard Jennifer Aniston's private plane when a landing gear accident forced a tire to explode. Fortunately, a spare landing wheel was able to be fashioned from the lady's lip filler.
Oh, my God.
And that's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, thanks, Steve. We'll see if somebody happens to know the answer to the question, what is always mentioned in Frankenstein's Entertainment Report. I will go to Kevin, first caller in. Hey, Kevin, good morning.
Good morning.
Kevin, what's always mentioned in Frankenstein's Entertainment Report?
Fire.
Fire. Yeah, you're right. Hold on, buddy. We're going to take your information and get you some tickets to see Villanova and Butler play Saturday, March 2nd at the Wells Fargo Center. You can get tickets at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. Let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! And this morning is brought to you by Gottschall's. Eat lighter with Gottschall's real meat, real wood smoked turkey bacon with up to 80% less fat than pork bacon. Gottschall's turkey bacon. Accept no imitations. So we mentioned this earlier this morning in the Entertainment Report. Very sad news that the Monkees bassist Peter Tork passed away yesterday. He was 77 years old, died at a family home in Connecticut. And it was after a decade-long battle with something called adenoid cystic carcinoma, which is a rare cancer of the salivary gland.
You know, when you go to the dentist, you get that, they'll give you that full checkup in your mouth. I think they're looking for this a lot of times. When you get your just a general cleaning and checkup, they will look for this.
Yeah,
it's a very rare form of cancer.
Well, they look for oral cancers.
Yeah.
Anything that looks like it might be an anomaly in there, and this would fall in that category.
It's so sad.
Tork is the second member of the Monkees to die following the February 2012 death of Davy Jones, who died of a heart attack. He was 66 years old.
This is a great song. He wrote it.
Tork, who celebrated his birthday on the 13th was cast as the naive and dim-witted bassist of the band. It only ran, the series only ran from 1966 to 67.
I love this show.
Two seasons. I did too.
And I was a big Monkees fan, and there was, I remember there were, it polarized some people that they, oh, they're trying to be the beat. Exactly. The whole series, the whole concept was created to capitalize off the comedic abilities of the Beatles.
But it turned out that they were good musicians.
Yes.
And they had great songwriters. They did write some songs themselves, but they had some serious hit writers like Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
And they made
Voice and Heart.
They made great music.
Yeah.
So Tork had actually made himself a name in Greenwich Village in the folk scene, performing with various members of Love and Spoonful, briefly dated Mama Cass Elliott. And it was Stephen Stills, a friend from his folk days, who had convinced him to audition for the Monkees pilot.
Stills himself had auditioned, you know.
No, I didn't know that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And you know what I used to love on the show is sometimes at the end of the program, they would show their screen test.
Yes, they would.
It was great.
It was cool because
they were in black and white.
Did you see, like, Mike Nesmith coming in with his cap on? Yeah. It wasn't an affectation of the his toque or whatever the hell you call it.
Yeah.
It was his thing.
It's what he wore. During his original four-year stint in the band, Tork sang lead on several of the group's album tracks, including Anti-Griselda and Shades of Grey. Out of all the group's members, Tork was by far the most musically accomplished. He played guitar, bass, banjo, and keyboards during the group's 60 shows and recording sessions. His songwriting, like Steve said, yes, he wrote the outgoing theme song for Pete's Sake, which you've just played, and Can You Dig It from the soundtrack of the movie Head. Peter left the Monkees in 1969, having bought himself out of the contract, and in the ensuing years, he went on to battle substance abuse. In the 70s, he worked a variety of jobs, and this is when things were bad. He went back to being a teacher, taught algebra at a private school in California, and he performed as a singing waiter, even. He was on hand for every one of the group's reunions since 1986 until, according to Davey, he was fired from the group by Dolenz and tour promoter David Fischoff in 2001. He was on hand for the 2011 45th anniversary tour, as well as his and Mickey's 2012 and 2013 reunion dates with Mike Nesmith.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2009, he had undergone surgery for the adenoid cystic carcinoma, cancer that usually grows slowly on a person's head and neck. Back in October, he contributed to the Monkees' first holiday collection, and he had done a few other things as well, and he had his solo band Shoe Suede Blues on top of that. His bandmates, friends, and fans have been taking to social media to eulogize and remember him. With Mickey Dolenz posting, "There are no words right now, heartbroken over the loss of my monkey brother, Peter Tork."
You know, I mean, so over the years, they did maintain their friendship. There was a falling out occasionally, and Mike Nesmith left because he came into a whole bunch of money. You know, his mother basically was the inventor of Whiteout. And so ultimately, though, they always loved each other, and it's just sad, man, to see this fall apart this way.
So Mike actually, he released a lengthy statement. He wrote, "Pardon me if I'm being dogmatic, but I think it is harder to put together a band than a TV show, not to take anything away from TV shows. These days, I watch MSNBC, mostly aghast at what I see, and what I'm missing is madcap. Peter Tork died this AM. I'm told he slipped away peacefully. Yet as I write this, my tears are awash and my heart is broken. Even though I am clinging to the idea that we all continue, the pain that attends these passings has no cure. It's going to be a rough day. I share with all Monkees fans this change, this loss. Even so, Peter will be a part of me forever. I have said this before, and now it seems even more apt. The reason we called it a band is because it was where we all went to play. A band no more, and yet the music plays on, an anthem to all who made the Monkees and the TV show our private, dare I say, secret playground. As for Pete, I can only pray his songs reach the heights that can lift us and that our childhood lives forever. That special sparkle that was the Monkees. I will miss him, a brother in arms."
So I even had the model and the corgi toy of the Monkey Mobile. Do you remember that?
I do remember the Monkey Mobile.
Yeah, it's a cool car.
Yeah, so sad news. Peter Tork, 77 and gone. Greta Van Fleet has been forced to postpone its European tour due to singer Josh Kiska being unable to recover yet from the upper respiratory infection, which led to the earlier cancellation of the band's dates in Australia. That's not good.
No.
I mean, they're a new band, and they're already
feel so good.
Canceling shows and entire tours. But they wrote a statement that basically explained what was going on. All ticket holders for the tour are encouraged to hold on to their tickets, which will be honored at the rescheduled gigs.
That's beautiful.
Weezer has released two new songs, High as a Kite and Living in L.A., both of which will appear on the band's forthcoming self-titled Black album, which is due out next Friday. The two cuts follow two earlier ones released last fall, Can't Knock the Hustle and Zombie Bastard, as well as last month's surprise covers collection known as the Teal album. High as a Kite comes with a music video. It's a spoof on the classic children's TV series Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, with Rivers Cuomo dressed as Fred Rogers, but ends on a darker note with the band destroying the set. This is interesting. All That Remains singer Phil Labonte has called late guitarist Oliver Ollie Herbert's widow, Elizabeth, a, quote, garbage human being.
Wow.
In a new
they must be tight.
Wow.
In a new interview, saying that she was never allowed to join the band on tour while other wives and partners of members of the group were all welcome on the road. Labonte said about Elizabeth, she would come to the local shows because we couldn't stop her from showing up. Everyone else in the band, wives, girlfriends, whatever, they would come on tour and stay for a couple days, stay for a week. Everybody got along. Asked why she wasn't allowed to join her husband on the road, Labonte said, we made that decision and she wasn't allowed because she's a garbage human being.
So how does he mean that? Is that in a positive way or a negative way?
He added that he tried to convince Ollie to get a divorce, explaining, I personally talked to him multiple times and said, look, if you need a place to stay, I've got plenty of room. Come to my house. Ollie was found dead last October at the edge of his pond on the property after he was reported missing by his wife. His body was found by police face down at the edge of the pond where the water was only a few inches deep. The police crime squad is investigating the death, which is being treated as suspicious. And then one last thing. The Beatles' 1968 self-titled double album, better known as the White Album, has now been certified 24 times platinum.
Wow.
Earning the spot as the fourth top certified album of all time by the Recording Industry Association of America. The White Album sits directly behind the Eagles' 1976 Hotel California, which has sold 26 million copies. Michael Jackson's 1982 masterpiece Thriller comes in at number two.
You're right in there, mother effers.
With 33 million units sold. And the Eagles sit at the top spot with a whopping 38 million copies sold for their 1976 compilation, Eagles, Their Greatest Hits, 71 to 76.
What were they handing out hand jobs? Damn it. Thriller should be number one, right?
Maybe should have handed out hand jobs.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, so
to people who can actually afford it.
Exactly.
So 24 times platinum, the White Album.
That's an amazing amount of sales when you stop to think about that.
It is.
It's incredible. Right.
And that's what I have for you this morning in the music news. Almost said a bizarre file. Almost said it. I've got turkey. Hey, look, turkey bacon.
Turkey bacon!
Hey, wow. I'll take callers number 15 and 16, and I'll give you my last six packs of coupons good for six full-size packages of Godshall's turkey bacon.
You know, my wife is addicted to the turkey bacon, loves it, actually injects it.
Wow.
I've seen her. She's tying off. No, she loves it, so she thinks it's far superior to regular bacon.
We should get her on these endorsements.
Absolutely.
215-263-WMMR. You can find Godshall's turkey bacon at Walmart, Sam's Club, Acme, Redner's, and ShopRite, or you can ask for Godshall's at your local grocer. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve.
On 93.3 WMMR. What's new?
New, old, and everything in between. MMR rocks.
Here we are at the end of today's program. And it's like 10 minutes to 11. Long one today. We had a lot of guests on the program, so I need to take this moment to thank some of our guests who are on. In fact, you know what? I'll thank all of them. Wouldn't that
be
nice?
Yes, why not, man?
Thank you to writer-director Neil Jordan.
How cool is that?
Movie Greta is in theaters on March 1st, and he popped in for a little while today. Our buddy Frank Caliendo.
Yes. Yay. Frank was great.
What did he call it? Recurring friend?
Recurring friend.
That's what he called himself, recurring friend.
Yeah.
We'll be at Parks Casino tonight at 8 o'clock. Mr. Skin was on the show. 20th Annual Anatomy Awards are up now if you want to check those off. off the great Rich Voss was here as well. Yay! Rich is awesome. Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow. The early show tomorrow, I believe, is sold out, so a heads up on that. John Ratzenberger from Toy Story 4 in theaters.
What a day. What a day.
June 21st. And thank you to Godshall's Turkey Bacon for supplying food this morning. I would like to mention there's a few things. There's some appearances going on this weekend. But there's also a charity event. I wanted to give this one more plug. It's the Miles for Smiles 5K and 1 mile walk. It's in Royersford. It'll be tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Pope John Paul II High School. You can sign up for at runtheday.com. And this is for pediatric brain tumor research.
Mm.
Megan, who got this thing started, she lost her two-year-old daughter, which was horrible, to brain cancer. So they are carrying on their daughter Emily's legacy by having this and also just trying to help people out.
It's wonderful.
So it's a great event. And so it's runtheday.com. And tomorrow is looking like it's going to be in the morning, so I think you're going to be all right. There's rain calling for later in the day.
It's
going to be like 45 degrees, so it should be good for...
It's not bad.
Should be good for a race tomorrow. So anyhow, I wanted to give that a plug. Brent Porsche is here.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, dude.
Hey, dude.
Now, you've got an appearance you wanted to hit, too.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
No, cool? Do it.
Sunday, I'm going to be out at the T-Mobile store, 1480 Blackwood Clementon Road, which I believe is Clementon, even though it says it's Blackwood. It's Clementon. I'm going to be there with the MM Army. I got tickets to Muse. Mm-hmm. Rival Sons, and Slayer to give away between noon and 2 on Sunday.
That's nice.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
A couple other appearances. Where'd they go, Case?
Oh, I just chucked it.
Oh, you did,
I thought you were done already.
No. I wanted to mention, we'll do the... You know what? Let's do the letter of the day first. Yeah. All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter...
By the letter Y, as in, yes, it's Friday.
It is, man. Caller 7, you get a chance to win if you know the word. 215-263-WMMR. Marissa has a calendar raid tonight. She will be at Piccalilli Inn. And Elsie and Alexa, the calendar girls, are going to be joining her for that.
Yeah, I love going down to the Piccalilli. Not only do they have great food, but like we don't get down there very often. So please come out and hang out 7 to 9.
Okay.
Tonight is that calendar raid. And then tomorrow, I'm going to be at the Sprint store at 12th and Chestnut Street. And we're going to be giving away a VIP package for the Carbro Classic. So if you're thinking about coming up to the Carbro Classic, come on, stop by. You can enter to win lift tickets and this big VIP package with an overnight stay. And everybody who comes out gets a Carbro Classic beanie.
Oh,
really? A beanie.
Totally worth stopping by just for the hat.
I love those beanies.
Oh, yes.
What time, Maris?
Noon to 2.
Okay.
12th and Chestnut?
Yep.
Okay. All right. The Sprint store. Make sure you stop by there. And then, Nick, you're going to be at Pink's Hot Dogs.
Yes. Exact same time as Marissa. So if you're adventurous, try both. But if you're in the burbs, come to the King of Prussia Mall. Pink's Hot Dog. My dad will be there. stop by, meet Tom. But yeah, they were in last week, and they brought in these great hot dogs. They're expanding into our area. They're from Los Angeles originally. And it's that new bridge part of the mall in between what was the court and what was the plaza and the fancy new food court area. So noon to 2 tomorrow, King of Prussia Mall, Pink's Hot Dogs.
I understand your dad rented a Ryder truck.
He did, yes. And he'll be backing that up to the back of Pink's and unloading all of them.
You should make him pay for his hot dogs tomorrow.
There's no way. I was just going to say, what is your dad going to do in that part of the mall?
The over-under is going to be how much mustard ends up on his shirt.
Yeah. I would like 1,000 hot dogs, please.
Join Nick and his dad.
Yeah. Noon to 2 tomorrow.
Pink's tomorrow. King of Prussia Mall. All right, so we're looking for caller number 7, and I think we have her. It's Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. The whole time I was here in REM, I was thinking back to your Y100 $100,000 contest.
Yeah, somebody emailed me about that the other day, asking what the three songs were.
Yeah.
And they knew it was that one. And
it was Green Day.
Well, yeah, but they added another one. They couldn't figure out what the third one. It was...
You ought to know.
What's that?
You ought to know?
You ought to know.
Oh.
Alanis Morissette.
By Alanis Morissette. Okay. And yeah, it was Good Riddance by Green Day was the third song. Wow, nice. Well, I don't have $100,000 to give away, Lisa, but I do have a 6-pack of pit tickets for the MMRBQ if you know what the word of the week is.
Fly.
Fly like the Flyers.
There you go. Congratulations. Nice job, Lisa. Hang on the line. We're going to get your information. Bud Light 6-pack of pit tickets for MMRBQ 2019. And, of course, there's going to be, wow, Shinedown, Joan Jett, The Struts, Evanescence, Fozzy, The Glorious Sons, Bad Wolves, and Serato. Lawn tickets are still just $24.50 while supplies last. Complete information at WMMR.com. WMMR. MMRBQ 2019 presented by Bud Light, brewed with hops, barley, water, and rice. I like this is really off key part.
That's hard to do.
Flyers. Brent, you've got the whole day laid out before you.
Yeah, I'm stoked it's Friday. Last day I'm in for Pierre. Should be back on Monday. Workforce blocks today. Dave Matthews Band. The on sale was about an hour or so ago via Ticketmaster.com. We'll also have a pair of tickets to throw your way. Breaking Ben, Chevelle, 3 Days Grace, and Dorothy, that Big Diamante show that's coming to BB&T. I'll have tickets for that. We're going to do a big workforce block of Breaking Ben and Three Doors Down.
Nice. Excellent. All right. Thank you, Brent. And I'm going to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Godshall's Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon with 80% less fat than pork bacon. And Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas, JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Yes. Hey, you know what? We should wish Tom in the studio a happy birthday. Yay. We have a few people in the audience. Happy birthday, Tom!
Sat here the whole time with a SpongeBob SquarePants party hat on. So happy birthday. Next week on the program, comedian Mark Norman will be in our studio. Also, comedian Ali Sadiq will be here. We will speak to actor Mads Mikkelsen.
Very cool.
We will also have, from the Philadelphia Union, Matt Fries and CJ Sapong in our studio. And we'll be at Jack Frost for the Cardboard Classic 1 week from today.
Dear God.
We hope to see you there. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great weekend. And we'll see you on Monday, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Listen, there's a name for people like you who sit in a restaurant for 5 hours at the same table. They're called campers, and that's what you wear tonight. You should leave me like $100 rental on your table.
Next message.
It's Friday, bitches! Woo! By the way, it's Laurel, you dumb.
Next message.
Harry Ballsack, Harry, Harry Ballsack. Harry Ballsack, Harry, Harry Ballsack. Harry Ballsack, Harry, Harry Ballsack. Can't get the song out of my head. I can't do it.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.